Program will give you the answers to all your questions from the beginning of time until Judgment Day. The hourglass is almost empty, so come and hear the dynamic teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Noble Drew Ali, Marcia Starkey, Clarence 13X, all those worn and sent to raise you, lost but now found sheep in the wilderness of North America. Come, listen, question the man.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الوالي الكريم. وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمهدي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part? And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
And now, the True Light featuring Sayyid Isa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi.
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. I ran across a book last week called The Lost Book of the Bible and the Forgotten Books of Eden. And I ran across something that was disturbing to me. I can't read this in Roman numerals, but it's a chapter about Adam and Eve. It's one of the books that wasn't in the Bible. And I ran across something of a prophecy of the coming of Christ. And this is Adam. This is God supposedly speaking to Adam, if I can read this. Again said God unto Adam, all this misery that hath been made to take upon thee because of thy transgression will not set free from the hand of Satan. It will not save thee, but I will. When I shall come down from heaven and shall become flesh of thy seed and take upon me the infamy from which thou sufferest, then the darkness that came upon thee in the cave shall come upon me in the grave when I'm in the flesh of the seed. And I shall, when I'm without years, shall be subject to the reckoning of years, of times, of months, and of days, and I shall be reckoned as one of the sons of man in order to save thee. What he is saying to me is that that Allah personified into a man and came down.
Right. No problem. You know why? Because I'm looking at a man right now, you, and Allah is a soul inside your body. You understand that? Allah is in every man. That's why Jesus made a statement, did I not say ye are God? When they try to pinpoint him as just a God, they asked him, what's the highest of all the commandments? He said, well, the highest of all the commandments is that the Lord thy God is one God, and you should worship him alone. That was his statement. But when he referred to anybody else in St. John's, he said, I came unto my own people, but my own people received me not. But as many of them that do receive me, I give them the power to be what? Sons of God. When the Pharisees and them questioned him about his Godship, he turned and said, is it not written in your law, I said ye are God? So he was not saying that he was the only God personified. He was saying all man who lives righteous has the spirit of the Most High in them, or the soul moving them, making them holy. That's why Jesus kept saying, you got to be born again. You have messed up since your first birth. You got to be born again and get the Holy Spirit moving inside you again. And that Holy Spirit comes down from where? What did Jesus say? It comes down from heaven. But when John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus in the water, they said the skies opened up an image or like a dove, descended down from heaven upon Jesus. And then they heard a voice from heaven saying what? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. You see? So it was the spirit that he sent down, because the voice was still in the heavens. That's what the Christians keep missing when they read that section. When it speaks about the skies open and the dove descending, the voice came from the heavens. So if Jesus was on earth and the dove was descending, or the likeness of a dove was descending, the voice, who was the voice of whom? Well, Jesus made it very clear in Matthew. He said, our Father who art where? In heaven. And Jesus made it very clear to them in their doctrine of crucifixion, because if he was on the cross, he said, Father, it is over. Unto your hand I send my spirit. Now, if he was the Father, shouldn't he say, well, it is over. Now I will return to heaven. He didn't say that. He's speaking from the first person singular to the second. Father, it is over. Unto your hand I send my spirit. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes,
so there's nothing wrong with that book. That book is merely saying that when you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. When I see you, I see the Father. If you are walking in the Father's footsteps, and if you are obeying the words of the Father, and if you are living by the commandments of the Father, when I see you, I see the Father. The Prophet Muhammad made the same statement. He said, follow my sunnah. Follow my way, because I am the best of examples for this day and time. I am the seal of the prophets. Obey me and you're obeying Allah. Love me and you're loving Allah. It is the same as Jesus. I and the Father are one. When you see me, you see the Father. They said, ho, you're saying that you are the Father? He said, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are God. They said, then stone him. Anyway. So when you realize who you are and you make the declaration, all of us are the children of the Most High and his spirit is in us, then people say about Imam Isa, he says he is Allah. I never said I am Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am one of his sons, one of his children, and his spirit moves in me because he said he did. He used the word nafakha, to breathe. He said he breathed, he blew his spirit into me and I became a living soul. He said that. Now, you're going to go against that. That's on you. The way I see it and the way I know you see it is that all the divine that moves through me, my intuition, my psychic powers, and we all have these sensitivities, because sometimes you get ready to pick up a phone and someone is there. And you get ready to call John, you get ready to dial his number, you pick up the phone and John then dials you at the same time. Or you walk in and say, you know what? I haven't seen my friend Ahmed in about a month. Turn the corner and bump right into Ahmed. That is divine moving in you. Because it ain't no coincidence if it happened more than twice. Coincidence means two incidents. Coincidence. If it happened to you more than twice in your life, then it ain't no coincidence. The divine is moving inside you. And if you channel that divine, nothing can stop you. That's what Jesus is trying to say. If you channel the divine in you and let it grow in you and become born again and let the Holy Spirit move you and live by the will of the Most High, nothing and nobody can stop you. That's what I'm trying to teach. And of course the white man and the devil and his helpers hate that, because I'll have black men walking around saying, you know what we are? We are supreme beings. We didn't say we are Allah. We are the supreme beings. As I said a couple of weeks ago downstairs when I was in the class, I said that they go to Egypt and they look at statues all up and down the Nile, don't they? And what do they call them? Gods. They say these are Egyptian gods. That's Ramses. That's one of your descendants they're talking about. That's Abimelech, one of your descendants. So when the white man is on one of his little excursions to Cairo, fly Cairo for $354, and go from the hotel, and he rides on over to the pyramids, and he sees the Sphinx. Then he goes down into Luxor, and he sees all these massive statues of black men with big lips and nappy hair, and says, these are the Egyptian gods, right? Then he comes back to America, borders in Kennedy Airport, and sees this guy grabbing his luggage and says, look at that nasty nigger.
Mm.
That nasty nigger, Whitey, is the same God you was admiring when you was in Egypt. You just misplaced him. You just took his soul from him. You removed his purpose, and you injected drugs and alcohol and bad thoughts and anger and envy and jealous. You removed his dignity. You removed his manhood. How can he stand up and be supreme when you have made him a bum? But I'm going to tell you something, white man. If you stop and listen to a derelict, you hear divine.
You right about that.
If you go right up to the Port Authority and talk to a derelict who's mumbling, listen to what that man is mumbling. He's usually saying, they did this to me. I don't know why they picked on me. I trusted in them. I believe, didn't you trust him? You trust the white man so much that you worked 6 days and waited to get paid on the seventh. And then we'll start working another 6 days and waiting to get paid on the seventh. You never once said, pay me each day I work. Or pay me before I do the work. No, you did a whole 6 days. And then he gave you a piece of paper and sent you to a friend of his who put a stamp and made you sign your signature. He gave you some more paper and told you it was worth its weight in gold. Oh, you could identify with gold. Why can you identify with gold? Because you come from Mother
Africa,
where gold is born. And I want to add another chapter to this, which I've said many times. If the Heavenly Father, are y'all with me?
I'm with you.
If the Heavenly Father didn't love black people so much, why did he put all of the richest minerals under our feet in Africa and none in Europe? Why is gold and diamonds and onyx and ivory, they got to go to Africa to shoot our elephant brothers, because that's all they are to us, because that's how we live with them, until Tarzan came. A white man, huh? He running around Africa, yeah, right. Catch malaria and die the first week. But anyway, in Africa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed gold. If you don't believe me, ask the South Africans. That's why they have apartheid, really. Now, why did Allah chose you to give the gold? He could have put it in Europe. He didn't put it in the Vatican. The Pope ain't got no gold growing under him. He don't think much of Christianity, you know, because Christians, they never had no wealth. They ain't even had good weather. Nowhere they ever resided was there ever a comfortable environment for Christians. Nowhere, not even in Utah. But the Almighty, now listen again, he loved you so much, he put the criteria for wealth in the whole world under your feet in Africa, gold. And you gave it up to be American Negroes. You willfully gave up the gold to serve the white man. Because the slave master came over there and made offers for you, and he's going to give you more money for your labors than you can earn in your own land. How can you earn more money than all the gold in the world? Ain't that what he told us? And then we climb on the good ship Jesus.
That's right.
And end up in America. And has he ever given you a gold?
No.
What has he given you in turn? He gave you drugs. He gave you pork. He gave you poverty. He gave you diseases. He gave you the wrong image of yourself, the wrong likeness of yourself. He even changed the name from Allah to God. He took away God. He took away language. He took away land. He took away your name. And now he's even taken away your manhood and changed you into Michael Jackson. He hasn't stopped taking. And you know the worst part about it, y'all? You know the worst part? We haven't stopped giving. There's still black people saying, all white people ain't bad, are they? I mean, I know some white people. This white guy in school, you know, when I take this carpool, I was in the hospital very sick, and this white, all white people are not bad, are they? No. All lions are not bad either. Just don't wear no meat suit when you're around them. What I mean by that, is as long as you are a docile, Bojangles type Sunni Muslim saying there's no racism. You never have anything to fear with the white man. He loves Satchmo. He loves Rochester. He loves Sammy Davis Jr. He loves Bed Marine. But he can't stand Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He can't stand Malcolm X. He couldn't stand Marcus Garvey. He couldn't stand Noble Drew Ali. He couldn't stand Clarence 13X. And he can't stand me. And I won't let him stand on me or you if I can help it. You understand? But he loves a smiling, head-scratching, watermelon-eating, even if he's saying he's a Muslim. I'm a Muslim, but white people are okay. Which white people are okay? The Irish? The Polish? The Yiddish? Who? Name one that's okay. Name one that's not responsible in some way or form for going into one of our lands and destroying us. Tell me what the white man has contributed to the upliftment of humanity. Bombs, genocide, drugs, manufacturing of drugs. Tell me, brother. Give me a reason to want to like them. Just one. Give me a reason to want to trust them. Just one. Give me a reason to want to live with them. Just one. Give me a reason to want to work with them. Just one. Because I came over here not of my own free will. Because you took me off my goal because you wanted it. And I learned to like you. No. Better yet, I learned to love you more than I love myself. Because I wanted to look like you. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk like you. I wanted to walk like you. I wanted to live in the houses you live in and go to the clubs you go to and eat in the restaurants you do and laugh at the comedy you laughed at and cry at the sad days and give out hearts on Valentine's Day. I wanted to celebrate the fact that you beat up the Indians and took their land. We call it Thanksgiving. I wanted to celebrate the birth of your women, the witches in the hollows, and we call it Halloween. I want to eat rats and call it rabbit. I want to eat pork, the filth of the earth. I want to get drunk. I want to stay drugged. I want you to rape my sisters. I want my sisters walking around with mini skirts and extensions of dead people's hair. This is all the things I want from you. I appreciate this, Mr. Whitey. This is the least you can do for us who built America for you. This is the least you could do for people who came and trusted you. We gave you our trust because we are very sensitive people. We gave you our very heart. And right now, there's brothers and sisters still out there trusting the Mr. White Man, going to your school to get your education, and believing that one day there's going to be some hope because Dr. Martin Luther King said so. They didn't see how he died.
Yeah.
They didn't see why he died. They seem to have forgotten even when he died. They don't know that he was a peaceful man and you killed him. And Malcolm X was a very unpeaceful man and you killed him. So you didn't kill them for what they said or what they wanted. You killed them for what they were. And that means, black man, that regardless of what you say, whether it's a black Muslim or a black Jew or a 5% or a Rastafarian or a Pentecostal or a born-again Christian or a Seventh-day Adventist or a Jehovah Witness or Africanologist, whatever you say you are, he doesn't kill you for that reason. He kills you because you are a supreme being. He's killing God every time he kills one of you. He's killing the name of Allah every time he removes one of you. This is what the white man has given you in return for your slave labor. You understand what I'm saying? He abuses you over and over again. And I want to add, I'm as sensitive as any other black man here. And I feel sorry for anybody, Sunni Muslim or Christian or anybody who wants to slide up under the arm of this devil and his leprosy and let him lie to you and tell you what he's going to promise you in the future. We done waited 379 and some more for your Christ to come. We done watched the skies. We done sung the gospel. We done had the seizures. We done gave you our money. We foamed at the mouth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit as Paul said so. We went and fought the war for you. We didn't only go to Vietnam. We fought the Civil War. You follow what I'm saying? What else do you want from us? And all we ask of you is to recognize our existence and either replace us from which you're taking us or give us the ability to build for ourselves. I don't think that's asking too much after 400 years. Either give us back our motherland, Africa, and take your little leprous butt on out of there, going back up on that mountain in Europe behind that rope, and let that leprosy come upon you again, that hemophilia and your syphilis and your gonorrhea and your herpes, let it all eat you up and leave us alone. It's just because we are supreme beings that we work off compassion and mercy. We keep forgiving you. We keep forgiving you. I should have realized when Allah didn't want you under the sun that you didn't belong on this planet. I should have realized that you're the only people on the planet that can't lay on the beach without fear of dying of cancer. That was man's sign that you were not an earthling. And you didn't come from out of space, otherwise you wouldn't be trying to get up there. You would know how to get up there.
That's right.
You could have only came from hell, a pit. Because that you know how to do. You know how to dig down. So all we're going to do is bind you and put you back in your pit. Let's dance.
I got two more questions. The first question is, I went to a Dr. Ben lecture, and he made a comment about Moses, how he got the Ten Commandments. And he said that Moses lived in Egypt all his life, and that the Egyptians recited the 42 negative confessions, which was partial of the Ten Commandments, and that he didn't get it from the burning bush, that he studied in Egypt, and he was a high priest, and that's how he got it. Could you clarify that?
Sure, it's quite simple. You know what's wrong with my good brother, Dr. Ben?
What's that?
He's been talking to the wrong kind of Muslim. He's been talking to misinformed Muslims.
Well, he said that he got his research from being in Africa.
Right, and I've seen him there on his excursions and his tours.
Yeah.
And don't knock it. But what he's missing is this. Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. Anybody can turn their Quran to this if they want. Chapter 2, verse 136. قَالُوا أَمَنَا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ وَإِسْحَاقِ وَيَاقُوبِ وَأَسْبَاطِ وَمَا أُطِيَ مُوسَى, that's Moses, وَعِيسَى, that's Jesus, وَمَا أُطِيَ نَبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرْقْ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. This quote is saying, it's talking, first of all, to all Muslims from Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Say this, Muslim, I have my faith by way of Allah, billahi, and what unzila was sent down ilayna to us. And this is talking about the Quran. Okay? Wama and what unzila ilay was sent down to Abraham. If you ask a Muslim, what book was sent down to Abraham, the average Muslim don't know about the Suhuf. They don't have that kind of knowledge. They just go, the Quran. And that's that. We've already passed the Quran. This book says something was sent down to Abraham, a revelation. Okay? Wa Ismail and Ishmael, wa Ishaq and Isaac, wa Yaqub and Yaqub, wa Asbat and the tribes. That ends that. What was sent down to you, meaning the Quran, and what was sent down to Abraham, the Suhuf, and to Ishmael, his son, Ishmael and Isaac, who both had the revelation of Suhuf, the follow? And Jacob and the tribes, meaning the tribes of Israel, and Ishmael, and the tribes of Midian, the Midianites. Then it says, and Wama Utia, what was given to Moses, because these were pre-written tablets and given to him, as opposed to the coming down like this inspiration that came to Muhammad, and what was given to Jesus. And it was written, received by John, son of Zebedee, the book of Revelation, and then given to Jesus. That's why I use the word given. Then it says, and what was what? Given to the prophets from their sustainers. This is the key. We have covered the major prophets that we're talking about here. We're covering everybody from Abraham to Muhammad. You understand? And all those books in between would be inclusive, which would include the Sabor of Daud and his father Suleiman, the word Nebiyuna. If we go back to Genesis of the Bible, we'll find that Noah had sons. And from Noah's son came Cush and a man named Mizraim. Mizraim was where they get the word Misr, which is the Arabic equivalent to the Hebrew Mizraim for Egypt today. Mm-hmm. Egyptos, we know, is a Greek word meaning burnt or black faces. That don't belong there. All right? So the descendants of Noah, who was a prophet and who received revelation and who also had the books of the Suhuf of Enoch and Adam and Abraham and Seth, mm-hmm. took their books and went into Egypt with them way before the writing of Unkenunten Psalms. Now, those Egyptians are of the family of Noah. And the scripture says, Noah was perfect in his generation, and the Lord found favor in him and his seed, you see? So the Egyptians that are writing these Psalms and Proverbs, like Unkenunten and them, they were part of the Nebiyuna. They were prophets. And just like there's things in the Quran that match what's in the Torah, and there's things in the New Testament that match what is in the Old Testament, and there's things in the Psalm that match what's in the Torah and the New Testament, Old Testament and the New Testament, the writings that came out of Egypt will match what Moses said, because Moses was influenced by the Egyptians, educated by the Egyptians, and brought the same information that came from the Suhuf, which was the Suhuf of the descendants of Mizraim, who were descendants of Noah, and under the same covenant of Abraham, from the same creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those were books of the prophets that they're talking about here, and those were sacred scriptures that was in Egypt. So Moses did use portions of them, as well as have his own revelation, because in that case, everything he received would have to come from that one tablet, and it didn't. Portions of that tablet are found in the five books of Moses, the same way portions of the Torah and the Injil are found in the Quran. So there is no difference. It's the same, tell Dr. Ben, it's the same family. They are all Noah's descendants. It's the same book. The Egyptian pharaohs who believed in Tawhid, which is the unification of Allah's deity, ship, oneness, were prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're the same one. That's why the pharaoh, as they call the pharaoh in the Quran, converted to Islam, as opposed to the way it was left unexplained in the Torah. Okay?
Okay, I can understand it. I can relate to that. It's one more question, and then I'm just going to sit down. This lost books of the Bible and forgotten books of Eden, I don't understand why they were left out of the Bible or the Torah.
All right, let me go again. Come on. Don't go nowhere. I might need you.
All right.
Here's why. What happens again is there we are in New York City, United States of America, looking at King James versions of the Bible. When the Quran was revealed to Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no such thing as the Bible you hold in your hand. You see? There were no such thing as King
James. Repeat that again.
There was no such thing as a Bible that you hold in your hand, a King James version of a Bible. The Bibles that they had back in his time was the Catholic Bible. If you go to a Catholic Bible today, you'll find it has more than 66 books in it. They have other books, the books of Maccabees, etc. If you go back to the ancient Torah, they had even more books. What I'm trying to say is that there are many books written by many saints, were not necessarily prophets,
but
go ahead.
To interrupt you for 1 second. I mean, I got all the stories of Adam and Eve that I never even read in the Bible. I mean,
right.
Their journeys, their sins, they did more sins.
That's right. More things written by.
And why was that excluded from the Torah?
Because the Torah, the word Torah means Pentateuch.
Or law, right?
No, yes. But it refers to, it means Arah in Hebrew, law. But refers to Pentateuch, which comes from Penta, which means five. The law of Moses was no more than the first five books. That was the law. All those other books are books of other prophets. Some of them, certain sects of Jews accepted, and some of them they didn't. The same way today in Islam, you have Shiaism and Sunniism. Sunnis accept certain hadith, and Shia accept other hadith, and they're both about the same man, Muhammad. Now, in later time, here we come with another sect called the Ahmadiyya, and they pick and choose from both Sunni and Shia hadith and create their own school of thought. So you get all these schools of thought. Now, as time passes on, certain people have more books that they believe in of the hadith than others. The only text that is authentic in this case is the Quran. The only text that is authentic in that case is the five books of Moses. All these other books are books of other prophets. Depending on the schools of thought of the rabbis, they decided which books they would and which books they didn't. You're in one country that has been invaded by a certain kind of Jew and a certain kind of Christian, so you're subject to go by their selection of the book. So you hold up the King James Version with its 66 books and say, where did these other books go? If you was in the Jerusalem there and you held up the Jerusalem Bible, it would have other books. If you was amongst the Russian Orthodox Christians, they would have other books written by saints that they knew and monks that they knew. You follow what I'm saying?
I do understand to a degree, but what I'm saying is that this is Genesis. I mean, if you're going to write about Adam and Eve, why would they exclude the whole thing of Adam and Eve from
they didn't.
From the trend?
They didn't. What is true about Adam and Eve is found in the Torah. Scholars and rabbis wrote their own part and called them other scriptures. Oh. What is true is the five books of Moses. That's what he received, and all of them recognize that, and the 613 commandments.
So this book of my hand is not...
It's not, no, it's writings of men.
So this is like hadith.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
And you'll have to decide how much of it you want to accept. Or will you go by the vein of it all, which is the Torah? Or do you go by, as I say, the vein of Islam, which is the Quran? Or do you listen to a whole bunch of men who want to be like Allah, who want to be like the prophet, and they start opinionating on his life, and they exaggerate it? They want to make every prophecy in the New Testament fit the Old Testament. And now the Muslims come along, and they want to make everything Jesus did look like what Muhammad did. So they start writing miracles and stuff that don't even make sense in scientific terms or in common sense, just to make Muhammad look as great as Jesus. And they wanted to make Jesus the greatest of all, so they took every prophecy in the Torah they could and made it match him. You know what I'm saying? This is the workings of men, and we're supposed to be able to work our way around them.
Thank you very much. Shukran.
Afwan.
Assalamu alaikum. I have a statement, and I guess it's a question too. But what I want to know is, when I first came in, we were talking about the Nubians. And I noticed that a lot of times when we talk about how black people is the majority of people all over the whole planet, and that this group of black people, okay, like Orientals and Spanish people, and black people, we're all black people, we're all Nubians. And I don't have any problems with that, but what bothers me sometimes is how when people talk about all the different races of Nubians and they put us all together, how to me it seems like black Americans get neglected. You know, they get like lost in the shuffle. And I notice how some black people try to make other Nubians worse off than black Americans. And I don't feel that way. And I don't...
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
You don't think Spanish Harlem is in as bad a condition as Upper Harlem?
That's not what I'm saying.
Just ask the question. Do you think that the Latino brothers in this country and sisters are getting treated as bad as we are?
Yes.
How about the new stock of Orientals? Not the Koreans, who they've given stores to. I'm talking about in Chinatown, where they now have gangs and ghettos and derelict.
See, what I'm saying, I don't have any problems with any of that.
Okay.
I can relate to all of
right,
that.
Go ahead.
You know, but the point that I'm trying to make is that sometimes when black people push it away from black Americans and they start talking about other black nationalities, they seem to forget about their own problem. And I think that the problem of black Americans needs to be dealt with first.
Well, listen to
before
this.
Before that, you could really...
Let me add something.
Okay.
In Mother Africa, as it's called by people, I hate to use the word Africa because we're not Africans, we're Libyans, but people won't know what you're talking about if you don't say Africa.
Right.
Okay? But in Mother Africa, like Ethiopia, their conditions are worse than mine and yours.
Mm-hmm.
And they are us.
Right.
In Sudan, they're suffering droughts. Their conditions are worse than ours, right?
Right.
So in reality, shouldn't we put attention on helping them? They're in a worse condition than we are and then get to ourselves? I'm just asking. Just a question.
Okay. I just feel like we need to help ourselves first before we try to help anybody else.
But that is ourselves. Those are our, that's Mother Africa. That is ourselves. And if your roots die, then the whole tree dies.
I agree with that. But if we don't help ourselves first, then how are we going to be able to help somebody else?
Because we have two pieces of bread right now, and they have none. So if we just give them one, we both will raise up to the same level and then make the working force stronger to move to the third level. But if we eat both pieces of bread so we'll get strong enough to help them, masses of them in the millions will be dead. And they'll never be there when we come back to help them. They're dying literally of starvation on the streets in Ethiopia, in Somali, in Sudan. People are dying of starvation. By the time we get ourselves together, and you probably know already they like the white man, they like working for him, they like the way he treats them. It's going to take time to shape this whole thing. You know how many brothers and sisters in Mother Africa are going to die this year while we're getting it together? So being me and you are healthy, and our brain works, and we have two slices of bread, I say, let's share one slice of bread and bring our brothers who are dying to a point where they won't die at least, because the South African condition is just going to get worse. I think that we need to make some concentrated effort to do something about the condition of the people in the Sudan from which we came as Nubians. Before we let them die, the white man will let our mother country die. Your father, then go in, bring Christianity, and then you won't be any good to the people over there. Because you try to go to Africa and convert an African back to Islam after he accepted Christianity, he like talking to a brick wall. Because the white man brought with him the Red Cross and food. He didn't bring no machinery so they can become independent. He brought grain and rice and beans and clothes and the Bible and a white Jesus. And that man starts to look like their savior. Though he saves them in one respect, he murders them in the next.
But he's doing the same thing to us over here, and if we can't get it together over here first, how will we be able to see those pitfalls over there to help anyone over there?
Right,
I just don't understand how we are going to be able to help.
Okay, I'll tell you how. By joining together and working together, we in the Ansar Law community, have you seen our latest newspaper? You can see what we're doing on the inside.
Right.
We are building. So we don't consider ourselves as doing bad. Or our problem is convincing more of our own with qualifications to come. We need our own gynecologists, dermatologists, ophthalmologists, pediatricians. We need our own shoemakers, hat makers, tailors, seamstresses. We need our own everything. But black people would rather be on the outside of a working community and talk about what they heard takes place in here than to come in here and find out for themselves and help us build. They'd rather go to some dude named Abdul from Queens who says, I used to be there, and I heard they do this, and I heard they do that, and he still lives in the project.
Right.
And then he's still on welfare. But they won't come on the inside here and work out with us and start, because the more y'all come in, the stronger we get. The more you bring in, the more we have to produce, and the more black people we reach. But as long as you're on the outside looking in, you can't see the power of the Ansar Law growing. Because we're spending so much time trying to get y'all to come in and join that y'all are not seeing what we have here. We are a very advanced community. I mean, from computer technology straight on out. Don't you see the books coming out like bam,
yeah,
bam, bam? How sophisticated, how do they look?
Yeah, they look good. But
that's the
point that I'm making.
Well,
you know, I can see the Ansar's doing it from the inside out,
uh-huh,
and how you're trying to bring everybody in. And I'm coming across the same type of problem when I'm out in the community trying to talk to other people about the
Well, come on home and let me do the talking. I talk better than you.
Yeah, you do. You talk
let
better
me
than
do it. Come on home and help me from the inside by typing some of these books and laying out these things and raising these black kids so they don't get that, you know what you saw on television earlier? So they don't get that image of white supremacy in their mind. And let me, I obviously was raised up to do the talking because one thing I do good is talk.
So I give that to you, Imam Issa, but you can't be everywhere at one time.
I can be everywhere at one time. That's why they have international media. That's why right now while I'm talking here, they're listening to me in Philadelphia and in Chicago and in Trinidad and in Barbados and all over the world because we can do that now. And the bigger we get, we'll, then eventually we will satellite it. And not only will they be listening to me, they'll be looking at me and they'll be able to ask questions at one time. And then when I step down, I got 5 grown sons all speaking Arabic ready to come in. I'm not alone. I'm not going to make the same mistake other leaders make. I'm grooming my sons to step in where I step down. You follow? And they are sharper than I am. So if they think they got a problem with me, they ain't seen nothing yet. Okay?
Okay.
But my thing is, my people won't support me. The people wrote a book about me and created a bunch of lies, and I answered the book, and you still didn't come home. Still on the outside talking in. They said, he did this, he does this, he did this. He was born here. I know the truth. I know this. I said, well, here. Here's facts. Here's the proof. Here's pictures. Here's dates. Here's mathematics. Here's the quote. And y'all are still outside saying, one day I'm coming in. What do I have to do to make you realize it? So you know the next thing I'm doing? I'm writing a book. And it's called 360 Questions to Ask an Orthodox Sunni Muslim. It has about 900 questions in it or more. But we say 360. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm saying to you people now, if you don't believe that I am the one that Allah has raised up from the east unto the west to reform you, then take this book out there and ask anybody to answer these questions. And when they can't, and they can't, then I will. And then if you still don't join in, then you deserve whatever the white man does to you.
Okay.
If after this book gets out there and you start asking their white Arab friends and their red Arab friends, what is this and where is this and how is this? And they say, I don't know. The only thing they're going to say is, he's crazy, he's anti-Islam, he's not a Muslim. You say, yeah, beside all that, answer this question.
Right. Okay. So Imam Issa, all right, like for example, right now you're talking to me and you're talking to this group of people that's here and all those other places that you just named. But when we all leave from here, and when this here finishes being broadcasted or whatever, and you get into individual conversations with people that have never stepped foot over here, don't know what an Ansar community is, don't understand their blackness, don't want to relate to Africa, don't want to relate to Islam, don't even want to relate to the fact that they're black, period, you know, and they think that they're better than some of the other black brothers and sisters. You know, and you are not there,
right?
Right,
but listen to
and
this.
I have to talk to these
yeah,
people.
Yeah, but you don't have to do that. You know why? Because
why?
If you were here and 100,000 more of you were here, we would intimidate the white man so much that he'll start telling Uncle Remus and then how he really feels about them. The problem is there's still somebody for the white man to reason with and to talk to. There's still Negroes still going to lunch with him and hanging out with him. If everybody was in here and this community would start to expand across Bushwick, on down to Bedford Stuyvesant, and they'd be seeing white veils and white robes and us moving and patrolling all over the place, our own businesses, then those black people out there will become the object of the joke. The white man will turn on them because of you, because that's what they need. They need to turn around one day and see the white man for what he really is. They're afraid to because they got a job. You understand? Me and you got to do that by becoming such a strong force. If everywhere they look, they see one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they see a Negro who don't look like one of us, he wants to ask them, then what are you?
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't you woken up? Everybody else is awoke.
Right.
That's the only way to do it. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's that sister across town now in the Albany Project sitting on the second floor that's saying, I ain't getting caught up in all that old black stuff.
Yeah.
She will have no choice when we are providing food, clothes, shelter, and as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad so clearly put it, which will breed love, peace, and happiness. When they see a healthy community for their kids, we have Arabic classes now here for people on the outside. Sisters come here and bring their kids.
Right?
Right.
Right.
We are building the nation from the inside and the out now. There is no more excuses.
Okay, I'm not making it.
No, no, not you. Not you. I'm talking about those people out there. They have no excuses. The gates are open. You understand? You can be outside and participate inside. Study your Arabic. Bring your system, your kids there. Bring your wives there. Sisters, teach them Arabic. It's all laid out for you. Now, if they don't respond, lakum dinukum waliyadin. To them be their judgment and us be ours. Because then we're entitled to get what the white man gives us, and we don't see the opportunity. Anybody can see that what the Ansar Allah community is doing is working. Because I was impressed this morning, because I listened to a sister who came in the mic. I think she's the first sister. You know what was most impressive about what she was doing? She kept saying the Amorite, the Amorite. She wasn't saying the white man.
Right.
And the white man hears her in college saying, the Amorite, the Amorite.
Right.
You know what he says? Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
They know who we are now. We're no longer lily white and pure and clean like Mr. Clean. We are the Amorite.
Mm-hmm.
Then she'll start saying, the Canaanite. And then he'll say, she even knows we have the curse.
Mm-hmm.
That means Ansar Allah is moving.
Mm-hmm.
The Nubian nation is on the move. Yeah. What does Adam look like, y'all? What does Isaac look like? Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, you. We on the move. Our flag is flying high. We're doing good. All we got to do is come together and work outward like a nucleus and keep multiplying themselves. And like the brother said, and there ain't, in plain, simple black language, and there ain't no stopping us now.
All right.
You done blew. You took too long. You were so busy worrying about my brother, Minister Louis Farrakhan, and how to stop him. And you were so busy worrying about my friend in Florida, Yahweh Ben Yahweh, imprisoning him. You overlooked the real one. That's why they said he's going to come like a thief in the night. I was there all the time when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was here, just waiting my turn. I was just sitting in the wings, waiting the shot, waiting for the day. And now, the day has come.
Yes.
Truth has arrived. False things will perish. The reformer is here.
Yes.
Not is coming, is here. And I will reform. And the first means of reformation is to get those white images out your head and get the dignity and the identity of a supreme being back in there. So you walk straight up, nose straight, and proud to be who you are. Get your garbs on, women. If you ain't going to put no veil on, put a long skirt on. Cover your bodies up. Get ready. Start to read Arabic. Start to get it. Forget them African study courses. Because ain't no much of Uncle Tom, in most cases, got a white wife, like the sister said. The guy in charge of the African organization or club got a white girlfriend. Still love the white man. They can't break away from the slave master. He's one pushing the crumbs off the table on the floor for them to eat. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught. But no, 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 no. You know how he said, come forth, Lazarus. You were in a tomb. Rigor mortis had already set in, brothers and sisters. You have been mentally dead for a long time. And I'm saying to you, like Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me the strength to resurrect you from the mental dead. Come forth, Lazarus. Come to life everlasting. Join amongst your own and build the Nubian nation. Then we have the option to either go home or make this our home, because it doesn't belong to either me or the white man. It belongs to the Indian. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
But we can't let them make us get discouraged and stop believing. Because without faith, there's no hope. And I see, and I know you see, when you walk the streets, you people in pendants. And now we got jackets out. We're trying to put anything out to keep the name going across. And with the name, Nubian Nation, Nubian Nation. They're like that brother standing, a couple of people, I got the flag with the unk. He got a couple of symbols on his chest. But in the midst of there is that flag, black, red, and green. And I'm not saying red, black, and green. We didn't make no mistake. We didn't say red, black, and green. We're saying black, red, and green. And you see people say, we're not wearing no doggone Jamaican flag, so take off the yellow and the green, because that was given to you by the white man. We're wearing black, red, and green. And the reason why black is first and not red is because the red on the flag symbolized blood. We do not, I repeat, we do not intend to bleed again.
Right.
So we have removed the black and put the black first and put the red second. Because you will not do to us what you've done. Now let me go back and make something clear. Do you know that when brothers join into Sunni Islam, that they're back in the slave trade? See, it was the Arabs that sold you into slavery. So now if some brother in America accepts money from one of those organizations, money for blacks in America, he is now becoming John Hawkins. He is receiving money to sell you back under their rule so you can back their philosophy on Islam. Don't you see that if the brother Bilal Phillips gets paid to try to make us unite with them, it's another form of the slave, the Arab slave trade. If the brother Siraj Wahaj is trying to get money to build a mosque on Bedford, then they're going to send into them their kind of teachers with their kind of doctrine, and they're going to be back in an Arab slave trade. Now, we all got to pray that Minister Louis Farrakhan does not get tempted by that beast and fall victim to him. Right. And also, keep praying for me.
Amen.
That they don't also get me. I'm not saying that he's no weaker than I am or no stronger than I am. The devil is busy.
Right.
I have no intentions of talking to him. So it's going to be real difficult for him to convince me to do anything. Because I don't want to go to their meetings. I don't want to meet them. I don't want them to ask me for nothing. And I don't want nothing from them. You can be assured, I'm going to say, get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got people worshiping the Kaaba and adoring the Kaaba and kissing the black stone and throwing rocks at brick figures and saying that they're throwing rocks at the devil. Ain't no more religion of Abraham over there. You got the religion of the pagan Arabs there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to adhere to that. And they said the sun will rise in the west. You are the sun. You are rising in the West. You may not speak Arabic well, but you know what the prophecy said? Hear and obey, even if a man is an Ethiopian. And Ethiopians were not speaking Arabic. You are the Savior. You are the body of Christ. You understand? This may sound like what word of D. Muhammad said. He said it, but he didn't understand it because he wasn't listening to his father. You are the body of the Christ. You are the resurrection. You are the truth. You are the light. You understand that? And all you got to do is get prepared like a bride for the groom, and the Messiah will return for you. That's all you have to do is get prepared. Get in your bride's gown. And women, even in Christianity, they told you when you get married to put on a veil.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know nothing about the veil except for when they come to marriage. Then they throw on a little veil,
mm-hmm,
and say it represents purity and virginity. Well, it also represents what's said in the book of Revelation where Jesus said the end of the world is like the marriage supper of the Lamb. You read that before? It said you got to be prepared like a bride, preparing yourself for that. Well, that veil is part of it. I know you're pretty. I know you don't want to cover your face, but covering your face is unveiling your heart. You understand that? And what I mean by covering your face is unveiling your heart. That means when you cover your face, people have to judge you by your heart, not by your looks.
Mm-hmm.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what he was talking about and knew what he was doing. Cover your face and unveil your heart. Because an uncovered face and a sealed heart is the works of the devil.
Another question I have, Chief Black Eagle, is a lot of people are saying that one day we're Native Americans, one day we're Muslims, one day we're Christians, one day we're Jews, and a lot of people are saying they're being left behind as far as the doctrine is concerned. What is your explanation to that?
Well, it changes, because what I was trying to tell them is anything that's real is alive, it's growing and changing. Anything that's standing still is dead, right? What happens in our organization is what I was trying to do from day one is cover everything that has poisoned our people. Everything from Christianity to Islam to Judaism to Egyptology to Sumerianism.
You got to go forth right and exact. You know what I'm saying? Get rid of the crap, because that's what's holding everybody back. You follow? Anybody else got a question? Yeah. Talk to me.
Yeah.
third article, right? No, not yet. When you speak about judges, the reason why taxes appears to be there is because you may not believe it, but if you're my boss, I can't judge you. You understand? Let me say that again. If I pay your salary and you work for me, how can you judge me? So there are judges in this country that are on salary based on the tax. And there are judges in this country that are not on salary based on the Federal Reserve. You understand? Third article judges in the first book that I gave you on that blue one, if you read it, you'll find out they say a third article judge is called in when a habeas corpus is written up, which is referred to as a writ. That means when the court went into session and everything that was supposed to be said and done was supposed to be done in order, and that's why there's a gavel there. Now a judge has a gavel sitting up on his desk. That's like the whistle on the tennis court. He goes, and the game starts. You with me?
Yes, sir.
That judge goes, bam, court is now in session. In other words, let the game go. That's what a court is. A court is a place where games are played. And only people who are smart enough to become umpires or refs know the real rules of the game. The person that walks up, how many of y'all people bowl? How many of y'all people went bowling the first time with a relative and just started throwing the ball all down in the gutter, every place, and a couple of times had the nerve to get strikes?
Yeah.
But then, when someone said to you, whoa, that's not how you're supposed to bowl. You're supposed to put three fingers in, pull them around over here, get them dots over there, take three steps, keep your foot bounce, and hold, don't let the ball swing, so I'm going to New York, or whatever. Ready? And well, and if the gate gave you up, by the time they gave you all that stuff, you couldn't get the ball down the lane. You was throwing balls, going backwards and stuff. Right? The person who knows the game is the person who's umpiring the game. You understand? The guy was sitting on the side of the tennis court like this, watching what's happening. He knows the rules and regulations of the game. And if you have any sense at all, before you get on the tennis court, you become a judge. Why would you become a judge? Because you know what they feel. You know what they're thinking. You know when they're going to make a call. You know when the player intimidates them and gets them mad. Do you know anytime you walk into a court in this country without a suit and a tie on, you have already violated the law? There is a law that you come to the court or the game in tennis shorts. Did you know that? That you're supposed to wear a dark suit, a white shirt, and a striped red, white, and blue tie when you go to court. That's the law of the court. So when you go in there thinking that you're doing something by going there doing your thing, you start off with a mark against you because you are out of uniform for a court proceeding. And a judge usually looks at you and basically says that. He just goes, you know what I'm saying? And then you look like, then you say to your man, oh man, we ain't got a chance. Like it's his fault. Man, we ain't got a chance. Then you got the fool who thinks he's a Freemason and somebody that told him some silly rituals. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's walking down and he looks like this. And the judge was thinking about giving him 1 year. He did this. He just said, three years. The judge thought you were trying to tell him something. There's a system, and we are on the outside of that system. And this is why we keep blaming everybody for everything that happens to us. Because we're on the outside. We won't get involved. I'm not telling you to become a politician. I don't care what party you vote for, Democrat, Republican, it's your business. But know the law that you live under. So you know your rights. They live here. You follow that? That will attack you. Most people don't know that more people get killed by deers than car accidents. Because everybody's under the illusion that deers are Bambi. So they walk up to the deer, and the deer literally whips their ass. And literally whips you. But most city folks don't have no idea of the dangers of living in the woods. So you do need weapons to defend yourself. You don't need it in New York City or in Atlanta. Well, I guess you do. Well, it's a different kind of deer walking around New York City and Atlanta. He just doesn't have an attitude. He has an attitude. But actually, the Brady Law was torn down as of today. It's no longer in effect. Now think about that. When they passed it, they made us all hear it and know it. And if I went to buy a gun, I had to wait 6 days and a total investigation. But today, they instituted it that it's been pulled back. And they're not talking about it all the way. Now the law to buy a gun is no longer in effect when they got an interview or have to go check it to the computer. Did they make that a big thing? No. See, that's the game they use. You have a right to petition a law against the Constitution, against anything, not you, anybody in this country. And they will consider that law and sometimes preemptively send that law through because it's best for the people for the moment. But then you have to come back. When people who are strict to the Constitution say, well, according to such and such a Constitution, Article so-and-so, amending so-and-so and such, you don't have that right. And they go, okay, they just back off and try something else. You have the right to tear up the flag, you know.
True.
You do have the right to tear up the flag. You don't have the right to burn it or spit on it. You know why you have a right to tear up the flag? Because the flag, if it becomes desecrated, dirty, or abused, then rather than have a raggedy, dirty flag flying, you have the right to take it down and destroy it. But you don't have the right to abuse the American flag, which is not the American flag, by the way. The red, white, and blue flag is not the American flag. Do you know that? The American flag is blue and white, and the lines are not horizontal, they're vertical. And in the upper left-hand corner is a box, and it has the Coast Guard symbol. That is the real American flag. And if you go research it, you'll find that that's called the peacetime flag. This flag flew during a war, and because this flag survived till the morning, and that's in an anthem that you say, you know what I'm talking about? What is it? Star Spangled Banner. That's when the war flag went into effect. That is not the flag of peace. That's a flag of war. And when they add the gold trimming on it, it becomes martial or strictly military. And should be in any courtroom you go into because you are a product of abuse by way of kidnapping. Not a slavery. You cannot be a slave because you're not Slavic. The word Slavic is the word slave. And there were Slavics who were enslaved. But there's no Slavics in this here, in this pavilion today. You understand? So you can't be a slave. So now, once we eliminate the use of the word slave, I ask again, so what was that situation that took place in the 14th, 15th, and 16th century? I need a new name for it because slave does not apply to me. Bondage is a biblical term. And you separate religion from state, and I'm dealing with a state situation, so I'm not interested in the Bible in the 400 years or 430 years. That's religious rhetoric and has nothing to do with government, so bondage goes out the door. What did you do to me? Now, and let me get something straight, because most of you don't consider Portuguese white people. You follow that? You don't. You consider Portuguese, correct? And then you're mad at blonde-haired, blue-eyed people all the time. There's no history. Get this in your mind, please. There's no history, no facts ever of blonde-haired, blue-eyed people ever doing anything to you. But some man pushed blonde-haired, blue-eyed early in the 30s, and from then on, every time you're a white, blue, blonde-haired, blue-eyed devil. The Portuguese do not have blonde hair and blue eyes.
True.
Neither did John Hawkins. Neither did Prince Henry, the navigator. And neither did all of those people in Zanzibar who were Muslims, who were dark like you, who sold you. You are mad without a reason.
to you live from Live Tape. The answers to all your questions. We don't need false prophets. We don't need misinformed teachers that don't know how to teach. We don't need leaders that don't know how to lead. That's right, he's here right now with the Father incarnated in human form with the total truth. You have to hear it to believe it.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله والي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe. To all, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
You are now listening to The True Light with Sayyid al-Imamisa al-Hadi al-Mahdi in a live question and answer session.
I was told that you're saving, you're serving Satan, so how could you hate the white people and love black when God say that he came to save the world?
Where does it say in the Bible that God came to save the world?
I don't see it.
It's not in the Bible. It says right in there that Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only. Tells you right in John, tells you in Hebrews. Over and over again it says it. Came to the lost sheep in Matthew 15, Christian, when he asked, when he's being confronted with a Canaanite woman who he refuses to heal. Mind you, Jesus refuses to heal this Canaanite woman. This is who you're saying God, yet he won't heal somebody. Why didn't Jesus heal this woman in Matthew 15? Read Matthew 15, everyone.
Begin with verse 21. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said,
now make note that this is what Jesus said. But this is, of course, in your Bible. It should be in your red print, I think. You didn't read your Bible?
Oh, yes.
Okay, this is what Jesus says concerning this woman. And this is what he says concerning himself. Go ahead.
I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Why do people keep saying Jesus was sent to everybody in the world, whereas the Bible right here says he wasn't? Why do they keep lying on Jesus? He never said these things. Christians made these things up. He said he was only sent for the lost sheep of Israel only. So why do people think he's not interested in the Yugoslavians, and he's not interested in the people in Ireland, he's not interested in people in London, he's not interested in people in France, he's not interested in people in Spain, he's not interested in none of the people but the lost sheep. Notice he says lost here. Because he was there standing amongst people who were calling themselves Jews. He was right there with people calling themselves Jews. But what did he say? Talking to, now here the disciples are standing there, correct? And these disciples also claim to be of the house of Israel, both of them, correct? But notice what he says about that. What are they? Are they found? Did he say, I was not sent for the lost, but now found? He's talking to them and still saying they're not there. Read it again.
But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
What, he's not sent? They're still lost and he's talking to them? He knew that he was sent to a people that had not yet come. That's why he said in Matthew and John that it's better for him to go. Because he had many things to say unto them, but they could not bear them yet. So they could easily say, they could say we worship the devil if they wish. We worship what Jesus worshiped. Allah or Ilah, the same word. We worship what Jesus worshiped. If they want to say that, they worship Jesus. We don't worship Jesus. We worship what Jesus worshiped, which is the Father of the heavens and the earth, our Father who art in heaven. hallowed be thy name. That's what Jesus said. Not our Father who was in heaven and has now come down to earth as his son. That's not what Jesus says in Matthew. Read what Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer concerning the Father. Our Father who art where?
In heaven.
Now this is Jesus telling people to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. Is Jesus' name holy then? Or is his Father's name holy? His Father's name. This is what he said. You know what the problem is? People are busy listening to preachers, teachers, and false prophets and prophecies. Because a whole lot of women preachers out there too now. And they're just making up their own doctrine about the Bible without even an understanding. They're philosophizing and opinionating, and they're just not using facts. Go directly to the Bible, read it word for word, and see what it says. Jesus right there tells everybody who he was sent to. He was sent to Israel. Was he planning on making a new religion then? No. But the people of Israel already had laws they followed. They followed the books of Moshe. They followed the laws of Israel. They had certain laws they kept. The 50th day of the month Nisan was Pentecost. So what do these people make up a church called the Pentecostal Church for? That had to do with the coming in of the new season in Judaism. And that wasn't ever doing no new church. They baptized with water and with fire. The fire baptism was a sacrifice. The water baptism was total submersion into water. Where did they get this Baptist church from? Luther was a man who went up against the churches of England and they formed a church called the Lutherans. Everybody bears witness to Yahuwah. Because it says, like St. John, I sent to bear witness to him. Everyone bears witness to Yahuwah, which they mistranslated as Jehovah and called themselves Jehovah Witnesses. They're not saying nothing flip. And Jesus said, right? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto the Lord what is the Lord. Caesar was the governor of what place? Of Rome, right? So there's no way you can be a Roman Catholic, because Jesus separated Rome from the kingdom of God. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto the Lord what is the Lord. So there's no such thing as a Roman Catholic. So where did you get that one from? Can I keep going, or can y'all see the rest of them? They make these things up. Lutherans, Pentecostals, Baptists, Jehovah's Witnesses. They took incidents out of the law and made whole congregations upon them. You know how come they did that? Because in St. John, Jesus told them they couldn't establish a church yet. He said, he will build his church. He looked at Peter, Cephas, and said, I'll build my church upon this rock. Using him as an example as a person. He will do it. Not Peter, not Paul. But they went out after him, after he openly told these people. What did he say? I have yet many things to say unto you. However, you cannot bear them yet. Correct? Is it St. John chapter 7? Does he not say that? So if I am your teacher, and I have not finished teaching you, how the heck are you going to go set up a school to teach? He told he didn't finish teaching them yet. That means the Christians are setting up a school of thought, and the doctrine and the curriculum is not yet complete. How is that possible? There's many things I have to say unto you. However, you cannot bear them yet. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, the Comforter, by the way, he shall not speak of himself. Only that which he hears shall he speak. And he shall glorify the Holy. They say, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was with Jesus when he was baptized and joined by John the Baptist. The Holy Ghost visited Mary to tell her she was going to be pregnant. The Holy Ghost visited Zachariah to tell him he couldn't speak. The Holy Ghost visited Elizabeth. The Holy Ghost visited Sarah and Abraham. The Holy Ghost visited Jacob in the wilderness. The Holy Ghost has been here since the foundation of the world. What is this stuff? The Holy Ghost is coming all of a sudden like it's something new. Jesus didn't say that. He said, I will send you what? I will send you another comforter. What does the word another mean even in English? Somebody tell me what the meaning of another is. Do you know?
There's one and there'll be another one.
Well, there it is. You have one thing and there'll be another like it. Now, he said he'll send another comforter. So either the angel Gabriel is going to come to another woman and she is going to conceive another child born of the Holy Spirit like him. You see? Which will make another comforter. Or he meant something else. Somebody else that will be guided by the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Quran confirms. That the angel Gabriel, the Holy Spirit, came to Muhammad while he was in the cave and told him to read. That was that other comforter. The angel Gabriel came to another man, and that man was sent forth into the world with the word of the Most High. That man was called Muhammad. And that word that he had was called Kalima. La ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lahu. That was the word Muhammad put forth. that Jesus spoke about, that there is no creator except one, and besides him there is none.
The Children's Institute there will be children still for 400 years, right? And they will come out abundantly. But do they mean, does it mean Muslims are black or brown?
If you had any difficulty in hearing this question, the question was, the Bible states that there will be a bondage for 400 years, and then these people will come out with great substance. Does that mean the Muslims are blacks as a whole?
If you go back to who you're speaking of either one or two bondages, all right?
Right.
One of the bondages is the children of Jacob, who is Isaac's son, who had his name changed to Israel, and his son became known as Israel, all right? Or Ben Israel, the son of Israel. And they went into bondage in Egypt. Under who?
Yeah.
Under Egyptians. They were not under bondage of any Amorites. They were not under bondage of none other than the Egyptians, correct?
Right.
Okay. And they went and they had their exodus, which is why they have all the holidays today. Which meant the day came when they left Egypt. Is that a fact? So that eliminates the scripture talking about them. Okay? Now we come down to another bondage. But before we get into that bondage, let's get into something that Jesus said. Because he was in between the bondage of the original Israel and the second bondage of Abraham's seed. Okay? And Jesus is going to tell us who these people are in his Beatitudes. He says, blessed are the what? The peacemakers. For they shall be called the what? The children of God, right?
Right.
Now listen to that statement. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Because in St. John chapter 1, he says, as many as believe in me, they too shall be called the sons of. So now, he's telling you that the people that will believe in him will also be called the peacemakers. Now, in Matthew 24, however, he says, in the latter day, many shall come in my name and say they are of Christ and are not. So we establish here that he called his followers peacemakers, and they will be the sons of God. Then he spoke of another people who will come in his name, and they're not of him. Now, Muslims do not call themselves Christians. Christians call themselves Christians supposedly because they're coming in the name of whom? Christ. Right? And Christ told us in Matthew 24 when talking to the disciples, many shall come in my name and say they are of him but not. Now, he also mentioned the case, the question comes up, about people who say they are him in Matthew 24. That is a different type of idiom. And then he spoke for another people, many false prophets would come. And that is another type of idiot. So we have, in the world today, people that are saying they are Christ, right? And we have people that are saying they are prophets. Then we have people that have come in Christ's name and saying they are of him and they're not. Do you understand that?
Right.
But he describes in the Beatitudes by the word peacemaker. If we go back to the Aramaic, or the Hebrew, or the Arabic, which are all the same language, different dialects. When they use the word peace, they use the word either shalom or salam. You understand? And when they want to change it into a noun to identify to someone, they always add a M-U or M-A point in those languages. So if you take the word salam and you add the prefix to it, one who is of this here, to make it a noun, a name, it becomes M-U, salam. Read that. Read that stuff. It will say, who, right? One who is salam. Now say who and salam pass. This is what Jesus said. He said, blessed are the, they shall be called the sons of God.
the children of God. And as many people on my name, because many Muslims are out there who don't believe in Jesus. You mean a lot of Sunni Muslims who worship in a subtle kind of way Muhammad. And they don't acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah who will come in the latter day. You follow that? So as many of them that believe, the same shall be saved. Am I overloading you?
No.
Okay, I want you to bear with that. Because there's quotes to support things that happen that people don't realize. Why? Many people come along saying they're Christian or Christ. If you try to establish with these people, what did Jesus teach, they get lost. Here's how we'll find out about the false people. Did Jesus bring a new religion into question?
No, check the book though.
That's right. But we can go on and just, for everybody there, if they have to have a pencil and paper, let's write it down and let's open our Bible. You have a Bible with you, eh? Open your Bible to Matthew 5. Turn to verse 17. I want you all to write these down because this is your ammunition when you go out to spread the gospel so you can defend your faith.
Okay.
Read it to us. This is Jesus speaking. I think in most Bibles they put it in red for some crazy reason to say that this is Jesus. But read what it says.
Do not that I come to destroy the Lord or the prophet. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall now no wise fall from the law till all be fulfilled.
Okay. Now the reason why I picked these two quotes out is for several reasons. One is they left the Hebrew in jot and tittle. It's from jot and tittle, two Hebrew letters. The smallest letter in the Hebrew language is the letter yet. It's a tiny little thing, looks like a comma. All right. Now, Jesus is speaking about the law. And he says, tell his people, and mainly Paul and these type of people who came and fought to the law, don't think that I came to do what?
Destroy.
To destroy the law of the prophets, not just of Moses, which he mentions in St. John chapter 1 that the law came by way of Moses, you see. But he said all the prophets in plural prior to him. He did not come to destroy the law of the prophets. What does the word destroy mean? To do away with, to get rid of, to break up. So that meant that Jesus was establishing in this verse that he was living by the same law of the prophets before him. Correct?
Right.
If you turn to Romans 3:31.
Okay.
Read it for us.
Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yes, we establish the law.
You see that? Again, they tell us about the establishment of the law. If we went on to 4, we'll find out whose law they're talking about. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, has found that there's a Christian in action. But we're talking about some law, and this law is pertaining to whom? Apparently. What prophet is mentioned here?
Abraham.
It'll go on to speak about who the covenant's hand should fall into, whether it's Ishmael or Isaac. And in this one, it'll speak of the covenant is falling into Ishmael's hand, not Isaac, because Ishmael had the covenant of the flesh, and Isaac had the covenant of the promise, right? And it says right there, pertaining to the flesh, which is the covenant of the circumcision which was given to the son Ishmael from the Egyptian wife Hagar, not Isaac, which is of course the descendants of the Muslims. So Jesus is confessing at this point that the law he lived by is the same law of Abraham, and it will end up with the Muslims. Let me go on with more quotes. I just have a question.
Yeah, when I asked a Christian about Ishmael, they said that since Jesus came, he didn't say anything about Ishmael, or it was the Jews. So there's no indication that Ishmael were to be successor of the covenant in the New Testament.
I don't have no argument with that. I don't have no argument with Jesus saying he came to teach the Jews. But I have an argument with the Christians saying that and not realizing what they're saying. I just showed you one statement that Jesus came to teach the law to Israel, right?
Right.
Not the Gentiles. I'm going to go on. We're not going to read and write and let the Bible teach us instead of men. Okay?
You have been listening to The True Light, a question and answer session with Asaid Al-Imamisa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi. Do you want to know the truth? Can you face the truth? Be sure to read the most dynamic books in history, authored by Asaid Al-Imamisa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi, on such subjects as, what is a Muslim? Where is the tabernacle of the Most High? Should Muslims observe the Sabbath? Was Christ really crucified? Who was the Comforter? Now let us return to the true light with Asaid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
Matthew 15:24, turn to it. Hope you all write these things down. Some of you all at least.
But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the host of Israel.
Jesus told the people right there who he was sent to. Who did he say he was sent to?
The lost, to children.
Israel only, right?
Right.
Now, let's see what he says in Matthew 18:11.
For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost.
Now, what did he say in 15:24? I came to the what?
Lost sheep.
I see the word lost there again? Lost? You don't see it?
Repeat what's there.
Okay, Matthew 15:24.
Right.
I am not sent but to the lost.
Sheep of the host of Israel.
But the catchword here is lost. Okay?
Right.
Now, when we go to the other one, 18:11 of Matthew, it says, for the Son of Man, speaking of Jesus, is come to save that which was
lost.
He did not come for anybody else.
Right.
Let's go on. Matthew 28:19.
Okay.
So what did he say?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Now people presuppose this therefore to mean to go out and teach everybody the gospel. Right? But then that would be a contradiction to what Jesus just said. But the fact that he mentioned that the children of Israel are lost means that they are scattered throughout the nations. You see?
Okay, right.
And his disciples must go find them, not go to Galatians and teach the Galatians like Paul did and teach Gentiles. And let's go on. And let's read Matthew 19:28.
And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that he which hath followed me is
a regeneration,
when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon the 12th throne, judging the 12 tribe of Israel.
Who will he judge?
The 12 tribe of Israel.
Will he judge Christians and Gentiles and people that are not Israel?
No.
Okay. Let's go on. That is what let the Bible teach us. Okay?
Okay.
That is split.
And why is the Old Testament being erased from there?
Why then?
The Old Testament. Being erased from the complete Bible.
The Old Testament is not being erased from the Bible.
No, but it comes to most Christian churches. You only get the New Testament.
Because they know that in reading the Old Testament, every time someone comes up with what I'm showing now, that is proof that Jesus did not. Okay, one group, right? Acts 11:19. Let's see what happens, and then I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Those there which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen's travel as far as Phoenix and Cyprus
and Antioch,
preaching the word to none, but unto the truth only.
Who are they teaching?
The truth only.
Now, what is wrong with these people into thinking that they got a new religion? No Christianity. Jesus did not advocate Christianity. Jesus told the disciples who to teach only, who he was sent to only. Now, the reason why Paul and them had to do that because they were confronted with a very serious situation. You know what it was? Conversion. They were confronted with conversion. Converting a man. That means when you convert a grown man who's not circumcised, he has to go and get the skin of his flesh cut. Conversion becomes very difficult when that's in front of the person.
men. In order for you to be saved, you have to get your foreskin cut off and stay in agony for 10 days. See, when a baby is circumcised with his face, like it's one thing. When a grown man gets circumcised, it's another whole thing. You understand? So Paul and them were confronted with trying to convert people who had been, who were Jews, who had started living like Gentiles. And they couldn't do it. So they started to modernize the religion. You see? They changed the Sabbath day for convenience. They stopped the circumcision. They started drinking wine that was intoxicating, which could make them drunk. Started eating the flesh of the pig. They started to take, they took their caps off their heads so they wanted to be distinguished as a new sect of Jews. They were not thought to be Christians until Antioch in Greece. The women put that on board. They were first called Christians in Antioch. All the time that they were in Judea and Jerusalem and Nazareth, they were living by the law of Israel like every other Jew. The Greeks called them Christians. You understand? So the reason why they try to eliminate the new Old Testament is because the Old Testament is the law. And they find it in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11, it tells them to stop eating pork. What would a Christian picnic be without pork? Christians, they're the only people in the world that eat pork the way they do. You see? They would have to let their beards grow. Like the law in Leviticus says, to let your beard grow. They would have to wear their heads covered in the mount, in the temple, take their shoes off, because the Bible says that the angel spoke to Moses and said, remove your shoes because this is holy ground. Christians draw the dirt from the feet right into the temple. Right? They did not want to live by these strict laws that Jesus lived by. Jesus lived by the Passover, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and all of the Judaic laws, he followed them. And then, when he got ready to leave, because they didn't accept him, in St. John chapter 7, that's when he told them of another one that would come, a comforter that would come. And then the Christian said, well, this comforter he's talking about is the Holy Ghost. Correct? However, Jesus made it a thing that he said, if I don't go, he cannot come. Now, we know that Jesus received the Holy Ghost when he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. Right? The dove descended upon him. So, therefore, the comforter or the Holy Ghost, I should say, had already been there. And he sent his disciples out to teach of the Holy Ghost. So they were already there. This comforter could not have been the Holy Ghost. But someone who was endowed with the Holy Ghost, like Jesus was endowed with the Holy Ghost. A man who had the Spirit of the Most High moving through him, who would make him like the Holy Ghost, just like Jesus. Jesus was born the Holy Spirit many times, right?
Right.
Who was that man who came after Jesus, who was a prophet? Because we found out that when the Pharisees asked John about the Messiah, you found out that that Messiah was who? Jesus. When they asked him about Elijah, Jesus then explained that John the Baptist didn't know that he was Elijah. So what about the prophet they asked him about? Who was this prophet who came after Jesus? None other than, you can say it, Muhammad. Who Jesus said is one worthy of praise. But not only that, the Holy Quran, in the seventh chapter, 158, mentions that this man, Muhammad, is the one mentioned in the Old Scripture. But Muslims are so thick that they don't read the Scriptures to find out what they're talking about. They're so busy listening to white Arabs who don't know what they're talking about. Open your Holy Quran, anyone, to the seventh chapter. Now read what it says in 157.
And the origin for us put it in this word.
Okay, that's, see, I'm looking at it in Arabic. I think you have to come down one then. Come to 158.
Okay. Those who follow the messenger, the prophet, the immaculate one, whom they find mentioned in the Torah and the gospel which are with them, he enjoins on them good and forbids them evil.
Remember Jesus said that about the comforter? He would enjoin good and forbid evil? There's a book written that seems to have the exact same thing about this man, Muhammad. Go ahead.
And make law lawful for them, the good things, and forbid them the bad, and remove from them can bury them, and there is shackles made upon them. So those who start to live in him, the honor and support.
You see that? You see why a Christian preacher and a white man does not want black people to understand the Quran. Because they did understand the Quran, you see, they're saying the exact same thing, you know, that Jesus foretold. And that's what he's trying to prevent our people from finding out who this comforter is and what he means to us.
And you said, said something about when, I think, a while ago. Didn't Jesus drink wine?
Yes, and wine was not even unlawful for Muslims. That's not what's unlawful. Intoxication is what's unlawful. You were not to drink wine as a form of pleasure or entertainment. It was drunk at the broken, when you broke the Sabbath, and at certain holidays, and at certain wedding receptions and things. And when Jesus saw that people were drunk, that's why he told his mother Mary he did not want to turn the water to wine. That's why he was upset. And he said, woman, he spoke to his mother, not as mother, but he said, woman. But she said, well, my son didn't turn the water into wine. He was angry. You see? Wine was not supposed to be drank to make one drunk. It was not intended for that. He says, no time a curse came out of people becoming intoxicated. So in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us to get drunk. They use the word tumra, intoxication. But Muslims who can't read the language have always interpreted it wrong and translated it wrong. Wine was never forbidden. It was the intoxicating effect that was forbidden. And Jesus and them, when they took wine, they did the dinner at a ceremony. It's never a bottle of wine to get ripped.
Okay? And when did Jesus and rip it? So he already ripped his mother as a woman.
Why did he?
Yeah.
At the party in Cana. At the wedding, when she asked Jesus to turn water into wine, he was vexed at that point.
But I believe even at the crucifixion, he also ripped the Mary as
well. Well, that wasn't Jesus. That was Jesus at the crucifixion. And Mary, according to the Bible, was so far away from the cross, Jesus couldn't talk to her anyway. We went through a whole bunch of contradictions last week about that very subject.
Alright, UFO, I thought I told you that UFO is buried. Is that buried?
Alright, that's a very good point. I want you to read this now. I like to stay in the Bible, to stay this way, right? You can't go out and say, this guy just talked off the top of his head. You have to say, every time he says something, he does what? With a Bible quote.
Right.
I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew 2:9. I want you to read it to me. This is speaking about the birth of the Messiah and the coming of the so-called wise men. What does it say in 2:9?
When they had heard the king, they departed, and the Lord of God was there far in the east. Went before them, till he came and stood over where the young child was born.
Okay, let's establish one thing. Scientifically, we have established that these texts, the recall scriptures, are supposed to be divinely inspired. And therefore, the Almighty, creator of the heaven and the earth, he knows certain things you and I can't begin to conceive. One is, the sun does not really rise or set, right? So if you see in the Bible, it says the sun rises or sets, somebody's playing games. Because he will be looking down, he will never be looking up to see it rise and set. So man has to write that. You got the point? Okay, now speaking of sun, stars are suns. You studied a little about astronomy, not astrology, astronomy. Stars are suns. And your sun, which is approximately 93 million miles away from the Earth, and it varies according to season, is not by far one of the largest stars. Okay? Now we know a scientific fact is when you look up at night and you see a star, it's not really there. You see it in the remains of the night. The star has already left and burned out. Okay? All right. However, in this quote in the Bible, which is supposed to be divinely inspired, we get a certain inclination about a star that started in the east and drove over to Bethlehem and stopped. Right? Now, let's forget the Christmas story and all that stuff until all that so much, and let's get into this fact scientifically. Star, and one star was to be over Bethlehem. It would be so big that they wouldn't know what house Jesus was in. Stars are bigger than the sun. Big, big, big. First of all, and second of all, seek you. And they will tear the people who are not informed in the advanced sciences of astronomy. When they see the light, they will immediately say, star. It was a bright light of the sun, it was a somewhat bright light of the moon, and everything else that lit up the sky was a star. In Revelation, when John sees the star, as he called it, fall and hit the earth, he called that bomb and he saw come out that flame a star. You see? These are ships. This was a ship that guided the wise men to where the Messiah was. Now, the reason why the white man, as he's called, calls it a UFO, is because he is so honest in what he does that he's really not honest.
I am.
Let me tell you why I say that. I'll get back to you. Because UFO deviates something. What does that mean?
Unidentified flying object.
It's an object, it's flying, and I don't know what it is. But what he does is give it a name, UFO, and you begin to believe that's the name. You see? You start saying UFO is a name. UFO is a statement saying I don't know what it is. So the star mentioned in the Bible of Bethlehem was a ship. No star picks up and goes from east to west and stops. So let me study this science. The scripture here is supposed to come from the Most High. He knows that. Go ahead.
Whatever UFO am, are wrong, all right?
If UFOs are around?
No, no. I mean, whatever it comes around.
Aye.
Does it bring a message or something to someone?
No. Every angel that you hear about in scripture is a UFO. In Ezekiel, anybody who comes into the earth's atmosphere from another galaxy or another dimension or another plane who comes in and because of their aura, the holler, the light around them, is cited as some beam of light is therewith declared an unidentifiable flying object. Now, we're all beings walking the earth today as human beings, taking on human form to study human nature to try to help you not totally destroy yourself. They have to take on a human form and walk amongst you because if they stay in their divine form, your devil friend, who happens to also be an alien from Saturn here, want to dissect them. They want to operate, want to figure out what makes them tick. So they take on the form of human beings to mingle amongst mortals to help man, to try to coerce man to stop destroying himself. But man has been so caught up in the delicacies of the devil, it's very difficult to wake him up to who he is.
In the Bible it says, man and mankind. What does it mean?
Well, in English, man and mankind means what it sounds like, humanity. Man and a kind of man.
Right.
In the Bible, you're talking in another language. So sometimes in the Bible, they refer to insane and nasty. They use different words, a legend, a human being, you know, majestic, a physical being. They got many terms. So it's very difficult to do the phonetic trick of man and mankind in Hebrew, Arabic, and Arabic as you do in English. But because the devil used English as a language you trick people in, that's why it's very easy to see how you use words, like history.
Who do you call a mankind?
Any man who is not the original man is like man. You follow that? And genetic science tells us who the original man is, because the color of your skin is determined by the motion of the pigments, how fast the pigments move, all right? And we know that motion is prompted by strength. You got this? In order for you to have fast-moving, what we call a pigment, you have to have genetic strength. Okay? Strength is gained over a period of time with exercise. So the darker you are, the more stronger you are genetically. And thus, you were here first. White people are not arguing with the fact that their hair is straight because their genes are weak, or that their eyes are blue because their genes are weak, or that their skin is pale because their genes are weak. They're not arguing with the fact that they're the devil. You're all trying to argue with the fact that they're the devil because you got a face to the devil ruling the world. That's kind of practice. So glad you have to keep saying, come on, all right, we'll get you bad. But they're really saying is, please tell me all right, we're not bad.
Just mentioned that the angel Gabriel visited the prophet Muhammad. But did he know that he was an extraterrestrial being?
No, Muhammad thought, like most mortals, that he was an angel. Y'all use the word angel for extraterrestrial. The word terrestrial means things in your Earth's atmosphere. Anything that comes in here is a what? An extra thing here. That's all it means, is an extra thing here. Jesus said extraterrestrial being will come to another man named Muhammad who will be a comfort to you, and he'll bring new revelation. He'll be the last one. That's what Jesus said. Another extraterrestrial will come to you. Turn to chapter 16, St. John, chapter 16, verse 7. And this is supposedly Jesus speaking, and he starts off saying, nevertheless, I tell you the truth.
It's expedient for you that I go away.
It's better for you that I go away.
For if I go not away, the comforter will not come on.
Let's stop. Jesus made a conditional statement here, and the condition was that if he does not go away, the comforter could not come. You see? Because those two prophets of the same people could do that at the same time, because the Quran says to each people I send a warner. So both of them couldn't be there at the same time for the same people. There'd be a conflict of interest. So Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could not come while Isa, alayhi salatu wa sallam, was there. We're now moving down to verse 12.
I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now.
Stop. Jesus told these people, I have a lot of things to teach you, but what?
You cannot bear them now.
You cannot bear them. Then go on. However.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth.
That's what the Quran says. See that? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. أهدنا الصراط المستقيم أهدنا الصراط المستقيم أهدنا أهدي هادي الحادي guide أهدنا الصراط guide us the صراط المستقيم. That's what he said the comfort is going to do. First chapter of the Quran is from the Fatiha, and it says أهدنا الصراط المستقيم guide us to the straight and narrow path. أهدنا الصراط المستقيم. You see it? He even said it right there. Go ahead. This prophet will not speak of himself. The angel Gabriel, the known fact in Islam, the angel Gabriel, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, came to Rasulullah Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the cave, and said to Muhammad, Iqra. The Muhammad, who said, Ya Jibrail, ma ana biqariyan. The Jibrail, who said, Muhammad, Iqra. فمحمد قال مرة ثانية يا جبريل ما أنا بقاريا. He said محمد read. He said جبريل I am not a reader. محمد read. He says جبريل I am not a reader. What is he asking this man? What is this extraterrestrial being asking of this man? A very simple statement, right? What is محمد saying?
Not a reader.
What does it mean he's not a reader?
He does not know how to read.
That's right. On my own, I cannot do anything. But an angel says to him, which is now the 96th chapter of the Holy Quran, and it's going to be mathematically equated in a way that's unbelievable, عليها تسعة عشر, over it is 19, he says to Jibreel, Jibreel says to Rasulullah, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, we do nothing in the illustrious name of Allah. He is the yielder, the most merciful. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read by way of using the name of rabbika wa sustaina alladhi hu khalaqa, who created. Khalaqa al-insana min alaq. He created all forgetful creatures, insan, people, man, min alaq, from sperm gushing forth and dividing up. Iqra wa rabbuka Al-Akram, and read like this, Muhammad, by way of your sustainer, who is Karam, who is so generous. Al-Ladhi Alama Bil Qalam, he is it, for he is rich, as Alama taught Bil Qalam, by using a quilt or a pen. Alama Al-Insana Ma Lam Ya'lam, he it is who has taught you forgetful creatures what you could not on your own have learned. Those are the first five verses of
the revelation that came to Rasulullah. He put the words in his mouth so that Muhammad would not think of himself. He made sure that Muhammad just repeated exactly what was being said, so he had no opinion. And Muhammad oftentimes said, I can't say nothing that has not come from Allah Ta'ala throughout the Quran. Most Muslims translate the word ikra, recite, proclaim. The word ikra means read. Ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. How do you know? You know because by the time they get down to the fourth verse, it tells you, alladhi alama alama bil qalam, alladhi alama bil qalam, which taught by way of a pen. What do you do? When something is written with a pen, you read it. You don't recite it. You recite from your head. You orate from your heart. You read from something written. But all these students keep saying, no, it means recite. That's the devil leading them away from the true meaning. Because they don't want them to know that Muhammad was asked to read the Torah and the Injil before he revealed the Quran. And the Holy Quran in the second chapter supports that to the letter when we get to Surah Al-Baqarah, when it tells you about what was sent down to you, Muhammad, and what was sent down from before you, Muhammad, when it says in the fourth verse of the second chapter, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَالَّذِينَ And those who يُؤْمِنُونَ, they believe بِمَا by way of أُنزِلَ what was sent down إِلَيْكَ to you, Muhammad, وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ and what was sent down before you, Muhammad. Yet you have Muslims all across this country being taught and misinformed by Muslims from overseas who are trying to confuse them into not accepting all of the scriptures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A concentrated effort is being made to confuse people so as not to accept Allah and all of the scriptures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. I don't know what else to say. They read the scriptures, they see what it says, and they still alter their words. Same thing with Christians. They read the scriptures, they see what it says, yet they still choose to alter. This scripture tells you that this is plain and true. So these verses are clear. And it's telling them right there, right there in St. John, chapter 16, all about this man that would come, Muhammad. He would not speak of himself, only that which he hears.
We will continue with True Light after this pause. If you would like a cassette copy of this week's True Light broadcast, send $5 to True Light, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221, and request tape number 19. Now let us return to the True Light with Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
I think this point, because there's a lot of new people there, is one thing we should try to do every week that we gather, is teach something. And I know I meet a lot of people who would like to say this properly and they say it wrong. But I want you all to repeat it. Ready? Say, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Because many people would like to know how to say that and they say it wrong. Every week at the class, for starting, if we take one of these small things and have the brothers write on the blackboard in transliteration and Arabic and see what it means, as it'll start us at least in our Arabic. S is A-M. When we use sun letters, we say S, the, salama, tranquility, bliss, or peace. Assalamu bi alaykum. Upon you all. In Deen al-Islam, when one Muslim speaks to another, they speak to them in plural out of respect. They don't speak to them in singular, like when Jesus al-Masih went into the upper room and he said, Salam Lekka. He was speaking to an individual. in al-Islam, Rasulullah Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalama, taught us to speak in plural to address you and your two spiritual guides, angelic beings, as they would refer to them, and say, assalamu alaikum. Say it. Tranquility or peace be upon you. Let it descend upon you. Or with men, let the Holy Spirit fill you. Assalamu alaikum. Aiden, Aiden, one more time. Assalamu alaikum. And the answer is, wa alaikum salam. Wa in Arabic means and. Wa alaikum. And upon you, assalamu. Be peace. So your answer to the person is, and may the Holy Spirit descend upon you in peace. So Muslims say to each other, assalamu alaikum. The answer is, wa alaikum salam. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. You see that? A is a hard letter and as is a soft. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Everybody, turn to somebody and greet them and answer. Come on, don't be ashamed. How many people messed up? How many people messed up? Let's try it again. Come on, don't be ashamed. Y'all can do it. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. So when the brother comes in and he says to y'all, assalamu alaikum, what are all y'all supposed to say? That's one thing we got right forever, I hope.
بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم.
Unshakable guidance and teachings of Asaid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, the undisputed man of our time. No one has allowed themselves to be questioned with such a variety of questions, only to fulfill the eager minds of many in search of the truth. Al-Imam Isa is the author of the most dynamic books in history, dealing with the truth, not theory, philosophies, or fairy tales. Just simple truth to all your questions, no matter what topic. How did Jonah survive 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale? Does the Creator really sit on a throne? What and where is hell? Are angels extraterrestrial beings? Finally, the time has come for the whole truth to be heard. The Nubian Islamic Hebrew Mission would like to invite you to write or send questions to True Light, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. The public is invited to newcomers class held every Sunday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Nubian Islamic Hebrew Mission, 548 Hart Street, Brooklyn, New York. People interested in purchasing these pamphlets of peace can visit our bookstore, Original Tent of Kedar, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, or purchase them from any of our brothers dressed in white, representing the Nubian Islamic Hebrew Mission throughout your city. Again, the address for letters and questions is True Light, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Assalamu alaikum.
Questions of your leaders.
you have stumbled in darkness searching for light. We have a man in our midst who can bring forth truth back beyond doubt, that can open the eyes and ears of those lost in darkness. As Saeed Elimamisa Elijah Maggie is that man, and the author of over 150 books of a religious and scientific nature. As Saeed Elimamisa Elijah Maggie has poured forth this information straight from the scripture, so it cannot be denied. So we invite you to listen, to learn, from the true light featured as Saeed Elimamisa Elijah Maggie.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الوالي الكريم. وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحتي والمجدد لنا المرسلين. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no partner. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which were all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
You're now listening to The True Light with As-Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi.
I'd like to know, how can we tell that the world is coming to an end?
Let's go to Matthew 24 and read it until we come up with it. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you all these things? Verily or truly, I say unto thee, or to you all, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. Okay? You follow it so far? And keep in mind Revelation 18 as we go on. And as he sat, meaning Jesus, on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. That means he was no longer teaching a large population, but he was only talking to his disciples the second time they came to him. Right? Came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? They wanted to know about these things that were mentioned in Revelation chapter 18. When will these things happen? Number four. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We got Yahweh ben Yahweh, he's Christ. We got a host of people in America professing to be Christ. And I've been asked a million times, and I'll answer over another million and one time, do you say that you are Christ? And I say to you, listen, no, I am not Christ. So go tell them lying Sunni Muslims who tell people that I say I am Christ that you heard me say, no, I am not Christ. You understand? Tell them to stop lying on me. Now, did you hear me say it? Ask me, am I Christ? Somebody. No, I am not Christ. See? Simple, right? But tell them to stop lying. All right. But you better take heed, because many people are going to come and say they are Christ, and they're going to deceive many people. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Now, do Muslims come in Christ's name? No. Does a real Israelite, not Yahweh ben Yahweh, because they do, in a subtle kind of way, come in Christ's name, most of the so-called black American Israelites. But do any Muslims that you know of or real Israelites come in Christ's name? Yes or no? Who comes in Christ's name? Christian Christ. And Jesus said to watch out for people coming in his name. Because he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Allah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called. You see that? And that was a future tense that wasn't even talking about the people of his time, because he used the word shall. And the word peacemaker is salam, and one who's of peace is Muslim. So Jesus said, blessed are the Muslims, they shall be called the children of Allah. And he tells you here in Matthew 24, many shall come in my name and say I am of Christ, and I'm not. That's going to pick it again. Watch. Number 6. And you shall hear of war and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. Are we not hearing of war and rumors of war now? All over the world. But don't worry about it. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Is it not that easy? For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Iraq, Persia, Iran, South America, America, Vietnam, Korea, Japan. Nation shall rise against nation when it deals with people of political status and kingdom against kingdom. He covered everybody. And there shall be famine and pestilence, which is a repeat from Revelation chapter 18, and earthquakes in diverse places, in all kinds of strange places you have earthquakes. All these are the beginnings of the sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You will be hated because you believe in the Messiah. Muslims don't believe in the Messiah, though they say they do. They say one is coming. They don't believe in him. The only Muslims in the world that recognize the Messiah, the Ansari, and they call us crazy. And we welcome that title because blessed is he is persecuted after righteous name's sake. You know, they persecuted all the prophets that were before you, the Bible says. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now you have all the Sunni Muslim imams going out west to study under white Arabs. You're talking about some serious problems here amongst the Americans. You're going to be betrayed by these people. I just heard that the teacher was teaching them from overseas in the Sunni Muslims. They have a flyer that they're circulating that he betrayed them. Now the white Arabs are sending all of them out west to study under some more white Arabs. Why don't they just send some money here and build some schools in New York and Philadelphia where you see large quantities of blacks? Why don't they build it right here? Why you got to leave your family and go way out there? Saudi Arabia got enough money to build a school in 1 year. They can have schools all over the United States if they want to really propagate Deen al-Islam here. They want to smother it, because when they brought Islam to America, they never intended for it to fall in the hands of the original seed. It was for white people so they can try to control them politically. And what happened is the people whose religion it is missed it, and the people whose way of life it is yours picked it up. And now you have a bigger problem. You're worse than an epidemic. The truth is more dangerous than anything. Go ahead. All these are the beginning of sorrows, I read. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall be waxed cold. Because there's so many false prophets, there's so many false teachings, people don't know which way to turn. Now you have a wax coat over your heart. You don't know who to open your heart to. The Jehovah's Witness sound right. The Seventh-day Adventist sound right. The Ansar sound right. The Sunni sound right. The Farrakhan sound right. Now people's hearts are turned cold because of the iniquity of the devil. He created all of these different paths to confuse you. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free, make you free. Number 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Not those who come in the community and leave, only those who stay to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. There at that point, Isa el-Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, answered the disciples' question. He told them what to expect, and then he told them who to avoid, and then he told them, and when that happens, then it'll come. Well, we're living in a time when the rumors of war, kingdom against kingdom, nations against nations. We got false prophets and false Christ, and we got false gods. There's God here. People saying they're God. Some saying they're Christ. Some saying they're this. Some saying they're that. Men are delivering each other. The Sunni Muslims are selling out. They're selling their souls to the pale Arabs for salary, betraying one another. All of my family get together on when to break the fast and start the fast, or where to have the chutzpah, or who's going to get the chutzpah. All of these are the prophecies, and they're manifesting right in front of us today. And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of in the book of Daniel, read Daniel 9 and you see it, stand in the holy place, not places, come to the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High, be here. Whosoever readeth this, let him understand. That's in brackets, which means they added that section. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And that's taking place now in Judea. The Palestinians have been pushed out of their motherland by other people. They're living up in the mountains, and Germans have taken Palestine and turned it into a new state of Israel. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. That means when the day comes, that those people who are in the city, Judea represents the city, go to Jazir Abba. Go up to the mountain. What do I keep telling you we have to do? We have to get out of here and get up on the mountain. You know one of the reasons why? Do you know that a mountain can protect you against radiation? Do you know that? Read, go study. A mountain can protect you from radiation. And the property that we found is one of the highest points where our community is upstate. Real high up. It was selected purposely to be in the right place. So you're nailed to the ship and protected against the radiation. Like I said last year, when mosquitoes start coming this summer and biting homosexuals, and they start biting you, you have a serious problem. Not just homosexuals, now women are carrying it, and drug addicts are carrying it, and animals are carrying AIDS. And when they start biting and biting you, I don't care who you think you are, how tough a guy or gal you think you are, you can die of AIDS. And you'll have to explain to everybody you ain't homosexual if you just come up tomorrow with AIDS. If there's half of the population who don't listen to the news, don't know that AIDS is being spread many different ways now. Mosquitoes are going to bring AIDS to these cities. You understand? AIDS are going to come through the cities and mosquitoes. You wait for the epidemic of AIDS starts to spread this summer. Epidemics of drug addicts are spreading. It's becoming dangerous to walk down the street. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. You see what it's trying to tell you? If you say, well, my family lives in Mauritius, or my family lives in Jamaica, or my family lives in Puerto Rico, I want to go home and contact my family first. Tells you, don't do that. Don't go to the field and then come home. Leave from there, right there. Get in the tabernacle. I'll go on. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that get stuck in those days. It says, when that last hour ticks, the women that are pregnant or breastfeed, why? Why woe to them? Because we're talking about radiation. We're talking about children born today that are born drug addicts because of their dumb parents. People born in double poverty, people born to families that don't have nothing, starving, little innocent babies, not even given a chance in the world because their mother and father are crack addicts. You understand? Because in this day and time, it's not for the mother, it's for the baby. Woe to those women that are pregnant or that are breastfeeding. The radiation, the poison, the filth, and the poverty, and it's a shame. I'm not telling you not to have children. I'm telling you to be in the tabernacle and have your children. So you're protected by the tabernacle of the Most High. He has always given us, when we was Israel, he told Moses in Exodus 15 to build an ark of a covenant, which is a protection. Did you see that movie? Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No, sir, I didn't see it.
That same thing was constructed the same way Moses built the ark of the tabernacle. Same thing they had in that movie. All the Amorites were fighting over it. When he finally got it in the cave, angels of fire came out of that ark and just tore him to pieces. The devil wants the truth, but truth is too heavy for him. Pray. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. It says, you better hope that the catastrophe does not come in the middle of the winter. Why? Because this man has the power to cut off your gas, your electric, your heat. He can immobilize you. He can hide in your house. He can just cut it all off if you're not prepared. Them projects are made of metal and brick. You know what happens if they cut off the heat in a project in the middle of the winter? They become refrigerators. He knows what he's building. He knows how he's doing this. He says, you better pray that that final click don't be in the middle of the winter. And it better not be on the Sabbath, because the Lord is writing this as if you keep the Sabbath. Knowing that you can't walk but so many miles, or you can't do but so many things on the Sabbath if you live by the law of the Sabbath. He said, you better hope it don't happen in the winter of the Sabbath. So you're going to be right in the midst of the devil. You ain't going to do nothing about it. Number 21. But then shall be great tribulation, such as what? Tell me.
It was not since the beginning of the world to this time.
Nor
ever shall be.
Now, what tribulation took place in the beginning of the world? Let's go to Revelation chapter 12 to find out. Verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, right?
Yes, sir.
Number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, was deceiving how many people?
The whole world.
They deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. See that? That's what took place in the beginning, that they're telling you in Matthew 24. A battle like that has never happened since the beginning of the world, the battle of the whole heavens and the earth, and it ain't going to never happen again after this. And you're going to be in the midst of it. 22. And except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. You understand what that means?
Yes.
That means people are now saying, it was just a week last week. Here you are sitting up here again this Sunday. What happened to the week? Time is going by. You're missing days. You thought maybe it was going through. I thought today was Monday. There you're in the middle of the week. The time is zooming up. You can watch days and nights pass. But the Lord says, if he didn't shorten the day, we would not make it to heaven. We'd fall behind if he didn't make it. We just meet. Because the devil is getting very powerful in the temptation. His world is getting more colorful and more delicious and more exciting every day. He's creating more, he's giving more Negroes opportunities in the theatrical world, in the medical world, in the political world. He's opening doors for us to be tempted by him. What proper man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Just because of you, he will shorten time. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, there is Christ, or there, don't believe it. Telling you in this last day and time, a whole lot of people are going to pop up and say, there's Christ, there's Christ, here's Christ. Now that's the guy who horizontally, you understand about horizontally?
Yes.
That's the Christ walking up on me and you. Now let's go to the other kind of Christ. So if you don't believe that one, the Bible right there tells you, somebody will say, there goes Christ, don't believe it. Let me find out what else it says for this other kind of belief in Christ. 24 says, when there shall arise false plural Christ and false prophet. It separated those people who call themselves Christ from those who call themselves prophets. You got all these false prophets. They don't call themselves Christ. They just call themselves prophets. They're prophesying. There are no more prophets after Muhammad. And shall show great signs and wonders. Will they have the power to heal? Will these false Christ have the power to heal and stuff? What the Bible say? They shall show great signs and wonders. That the will have the power to do these things. But it goes on to give you a little catch. In so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But can a Muslim be deceived? They can't fool us no more. We know better. All we got to do what? We think it's rattling off of their mouth. We listen to what they say. They say, oh, there's one of them false prophets. Let's move on. 25. Behold, what did Jesus say? Behold, now what?
I have told you before.
Go ahead. Wherefore,
if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert.
If you pray that Jesus Christ is going to come out of the desert, he's going to come on the temple in Jerusalem and out of the desert. He's going to come, he's going to rise up in Israel in the desert. We're going to pray this with those guys.
Go not forth, behold.
Now, don't go. A whole bunch of brothers left Chicago on their way to Israel years ago. They were going to wait for the Messiah in 1957. And they're still waiting for the Messiah in 1987. When the Bible told them, don't go over there looking for him. But what? Behold.
He is in the secret chambers. Believe it not.
Now, someone tells you he's in some secret chamber in heaven next to God. And he's going to come out in clouds and ride forth in glory and a whole bunch of little fat angels with little wings are going to be around him. And there's going to be music and harps and little people singing. And everything is going to be so beautiful. They're just crying and carrying on. And they're all happy. They're going to go, yes. He says what? Believe it?
Not.
Don't believe what he has told you. All the things that people tell you to believe about Christ, Christ just told you don't believe it. If someone tells you he's a man, don't believe it. If someone says he's of Christ, don't believe it. If he says he's a prophet of Christ, don't believe it. If he says he's going to come in Jerusalem or in the desert, don't believe it. If he says he's going to come out of the sky up in some sacred chamber, don't believe it. So now, what do we believe? Because everything I've ever read from the Jehovah's Witness to the Seventh-day Adventist to the Muslims to the Jews is right here. He said, don't believe it. You know why? Because Christ is not going to come like that. He said his angel to testify for him is mentioned in Revelation chapter 1. He said his angel signifying it for him. The only thing you think about the way he's going to come is not true because he's not going to come that way. So you can look up in the sky all you want. They've been waiting for 2,000 years for Jesus. They didn't look it up. In church and get the popping tambourines and steaming and singing, having a good time, and still got to pay rent for next month. You understand that? Because they don't want to read this little verse. It tells them the way they think he's going to come, he's not going to come. And now it tells you in 27 how to expect it. For as the lightning, what is lightning?
True.
Positive and negative charges of energy. Okay? Created by a clash of hot and cold weather. It gives off electrical charges and you see lightning. Watch. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, but where is it going to shine?
Even into the west.
Then what?
So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Now, are y'all not the sons and daughters of man? Who are given the power to become the sons and daughters of God? You understand that? Were you not born of a man? A mortal? You are the sons of man. You are the sons of God when you accept the truth of the oneness of Allah. The light shining out of each, where do you think you came from? You think you was always there in the west? You came out of the east. Unto the west, shining forth. Now you're trying to bring back pure Islam, and you have rose in the west and shining forth towards the east. You know about that, traveling east, right?
A little.
Enough, sir. You understand?
Yes, sir.
The light of the Most High is like a tabernacle prepared for a bride that's coming down out of heaven into your heart, and you shall shine forth with the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in accepting that truth, you make a transformation from a son of man to a son of God, like it says.
That's the truth. That's what the Bible says. All other brothers were other men with. Number 20, all of you want to go on. And we've covered the main gist of it. Well, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagle be gathered together. The carcass, people?
Carcass.
Hebrews 13 and 28. For wheresoever the carcass is,
there will the eagle be gathered together.
And that's their power. That was always a symbol. Number 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now you're talking about the end of the world. Now you're talking serious end of world here. We're talking about the stars falling out the sky and the sun and moon being blocked. You know if the sun was cut off from the earth within 15 minutes, y'all would freeze to death? Number 30. And then shall appear the sign of what?
The Son of Man.
Where?
In heaven.
That is the formation of the constellation. The sign of the Son of Man appearing is going to be that. You know how you see it.
And then shall
all the tribes of the earth mourn.
And they shall see
the Son of Man coming in clouds of
heaven,
with power, and great glory. That's from Daniel. You see that?
Yes,
that's the mothership. That's the elders. Fernando is there. Fernando is Jesus' real name. Fernando is there. He's with them. But so is Elijah. And so is Jeremiah. And so is all of us in the great prophets. They're there. After the world is about ready to destroy itself, you're going to see that ship come forth. And what else?
And he shall seal the right angels. And he shall send the right
his angels
with a great sound of a trumpet.
And that angels, as I told you around about the throne, are nothing but extraterrestrials. But the sound of the trumpet is mentioned in the Holy Quran, chapter 20, verse 102. On a day when a trumpet is blown, we shall gather the guilty few out on that day. Remember that one? That trumpet is the same trumpet, and that angel is Raphael who holds the trumpet to blow for the judgment of the world. Go ahead.
And they shall gather together his elect.
That means 144,000 will be gathered and be prepared to be taken away. Go ahead.
From the four winds.
Remember the four ships that are at the four corners that are holding back the wind so the world doesn't destroy itself? Go ahead.
From one end of heaven to the other.
That means they'll travel intergalactically. They will leave this atmosphere and go straight on the other side of the black hole. See? I don't want to get back to get heaven. That's pretty good.
Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is
near. Leaf is near. He's telling us that this end of the world is symbolic of a fig tree. When you start seeing the signs of its leaves, you better know that the fruit is going to grow. All the things that we mentioned, rumors of war, pestilence, disease, and famine, those are the leaves on the fig tree blossoming. That means that this judgment is very near. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors.
That's clear, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be what?
Fulfilled.
You aren't going anywhere. This generation is not going anywhere until you get all those plagues. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. See that?
Yes, sir.
Say it.
But at that day and that
but at that day.
An hour.
Knoweth
no man. No.
Not the angels of heaven.
Of heaven
but my Father only. The only one that knows that hour of judgment is the Heavenly Father. The angels don't even know. We can't tell you when it's going to end. Only Allah Ta'ala knows the exact moment. Go ahead.
But as the days of Noah
were as in, that's right.
As in the days of Noah were,
so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
What happened in Noah? Noah went around warning people about the end of the world, warning people about the deluge, and they called him crazy. Well, they thought it was crazy, just building a boat out in the desert. Didn't that look crazy? Well, that's how we look, building this tabernacle in the middle of New York City, telling people to stop having a good time and put on white and learn to pray. Of course we look crazy. Of course they'll say you're all a brainwash. Of course they're going to persecute you for wanting to be an anthrop, put a veil on your face, and walk around in a white long dress every day, a male or a female. Of course they're going to say he ain't nuts, but that's what they did to Noah. Noah came and said, it's going to rain 4 days and 4 nights. They said, in the desert, good. That means our crops will grow.
We will return with the true light after this brief intermission. We, the Nubian Islamic Hebrews, would like to hear from you. Write us and let us know how the true light has made a difference in your life. Unlike those fake healers and lying preachers, we are not asking you to send us money for prayer cloths and lucky numbers. We are a self-supporting program. We just ask that you show your support by writing as Saeed El Imam Isa El Hadi El Mahdi. Let him know how the true light has made a difference in your life. We are asking you don't send your hard-earned money to those lying men who claim to come in the name of Jesus and who really come in the name of themselves. So beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Now let us continue with the true light. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
He said, yeah, but y'all won't be here. Did y'all get the Noah book? The Noah book is out now. The
yes,
new
sir.
Book, Noah 1 and 2.
1 and 2, I have them.
I'm telling you, that's some heavy material.
Mm.
It's going to get heavier, too, believe me. Go ahead.
For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and
that's
giving
it.
In marriage, mm-hmm. until the day that
Noah,
entered into the ark.
That means back then before the flood, they were having they were partying up just like today, having a good time. And then that hour came. Go ahead.
And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also the coming of the Son of Man be.
See, they ain't going to believe you. They all going to be out there still popping their fingers and dancing, having a good time. I must have touched some sauce about the couple of y'all. Okay. They'll be out there having a good time, and all of a sudden, bam, in one day, it says in Revelation 18, in 1 hour, this big city, this Babylon, is made desolate, which people thought could never fall. They're going to catch people having a good time, going on the subway, on their way to Wall Street, on their way to get their suit out to clean up for the party, on their way to get our hair re-permed. I'm going to get my nails rebuilt. I got to find me a pair of shoes to match this new pantsuit I got. I got to go down and get the key for this new car I'm buying. I got to go see this new apartment. I'll pick up my furniture, call this man about my dog who got a broken leg. And that's when it's going to happen. When they least expect it, that's when it's going to strike. Go ahead.
Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left.
That's what they call the rapture. You look next to the person next to you. You see that person next to you? Come on, everybody. Don't
yes,
be afraid.
Sir.
If you like that person, realize that if y'all don't become one, one of y'all ain't going. The Bible says two people will be together. One is going and one is staying behind. Unless y'all become one in faith, one in spirit, one of y'all are going to stay behind. Now y'all pick choice. Go ahead.
Two women shall be grinding at the mill.
One shall,
so one
be,
shall
taken,
be taken, and the other
shall be left.
Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come.
That's right. You don't know what hour the Lord is going to make this judgment come. Two women together. See the two sisters there sitting in front of you?
Yes, sir.
Two of them together. One of them are going, and one of them are not. So don't mess around and be so silent with somebody who don't have as much faith as you, and they're trying to keep you out the tabernacle for their reason, and then you know them, though. Let's go.
But know this, that if the good man of the house had known it.
Had known in what watch
the thief
would come.
That's right.
He would have watched and would have suffered
his house. What that means, if the man, the good man, had known exactly when the burglar was going to come in and burglarize his house, he would have been sitting there to catch him. That's those people in there that say, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to prolong it to the last minute, then take my shahada right before judgment day. I'm going to finish this party in first, then I'm going to come in. I want to finish. No, it ain't going to work like that. He's going to come like a thief in the night.
We will return with the true light after this brief intermission. Now is the time to ask questions of your leaders, teachers, and preachers. Where did all the races of people come from? Why did John have to baptize Jesus at the Jordan? And why do the four Gospels contradict each other? The answer to these questions can be with only one man, as Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, the man who has written over 150 books on such topics as, is there life on other planets? How were the pyramids built? What race was Adam and Eve? And was the Holy Quran made up by Muhammad, or was it a divine scripture sent from the Most High? And what is the difference between the spirit and the soul? The answer to these questions can be found in the most dynamic books in history, authored by As-Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. These books can be purchased at the original Tempsikita at 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Would you like to see the man behind the voice you hear teaching the total truth? He is there at the Hall of Knowledge located at 548 Hart Street, Brooklyn, New York. Every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m., the Nubian Islamic Hebrews would like to invite you to question and answer classes with As-Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Come listen and learn. Hear the words of truth for yourself. Hear the answers to long-awaited questions. Also for your spiritual growth, an intricate design woven prayer rug designed by the hand of As-Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Also available are prayer beads, incense, and oils. If you would like any further information on these items, contact the original Tents of Kedar, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. And be sure to ask for a listing of the most dynamic books in history, offered by As-Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Now let us continue with the true light. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
Go ahead. And would have suffered his house to be broken up.
Right.
Therefore, be also ready. For on such an hour as ye think
not
the Son of Man cometh.
When you don't think he's going to come, that's when he'll be here. Y'all did not expect it, did y'all? And y'all were merrymaking in 1970, and out of nowhere pops this man with this new doctrine that has y'all sitting in this room. You wasn't ready for it. You just were so nosy, you couldn't resist it. You saw this book, it had all this funny stuff on the cover, and you said, Nubian Islamic Hebrews. Leviathan 666. Now, what is that? And you start thinking, whoa, look at this, a dollar bill. And I'm going to read this. And you read it, and you said, that's interesting. Now I got to get another one. And another one. And another one. And another one. And you've been another one in ever since, so your nose got you in it. Your body's mad at your nose in case you don't know it. But you then nose your way into a doctrine that's calling for more. See, the Bible says the truth is sweet in the mouth and bitter in the belly, the little book they call in Revelation. Sweet in the mouth and bitter. When you first hear about Islam, you heavy. You're the heaviest guy in your neighborhood now. You're going to bust people up. You're heavy now. You're burning hot stuff. And then someone says, well, don't those people wear veils? Well, I'm going to get around to that too. Well, don't they all live together? I'll be there. I'm moving in. When? Because right now, you know, your conversation don't mean nothing because you ain't living all the law. And then eventually, all you have, then you got to try not to let people know you know this. Then you got to try to be cool and don't say nothing about the doctrine. You know what I'm saying? They can look in your eye and they know that you're not the normal no more, you know. People look at you and they say, you know something. I don't know what it is you know, but you know something because you are out of place. You go to a party now. You go and try. You're in a party, you can try to have a good time, but you're looking around at these people and saying, these people are stupid. You see a person take a piece of paper with some leaves in it and put a match to it and puff on it. Simply called a cigarette. And you're looking at it and say, this guy's smoking paper and leaves. Before, you didn't see it that way. Mm. You see a guy walk up to a bar and take an alcoholic drink, put it to his lips, down rubbing alcohol with some food coloring in it, make a strong face like, come, give me another hit. And something in the back of your mind says, strange. The man takes and builds a car and makes the speed 55 miles an hour and then puts 180 miles on the speedometer. You follow that?
Yes, sir.
That's why you kill yourselves. If he didn't want people to kill themselves, he'd only put 55 miles an hour on the speedometer. The car wouldn't go no further. He got to tell you, you better not drive around more than 55 miles an hour, but go by this Porsche that does 240. The devil is doing his work, y'all. 24 hours a day. Go ahead, read on.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom as Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in the season?
He tells you that the Son of Man, right, he's wise and he's loyal, because he's a servant of the Lord, and he will be the one to prepare the household to provide for you. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, so
find
so doing.
That's right. Blessed is the servant who, when the truth comes, he'll be found in his God, found in righteousness. He's going to make it. Go ahead. Verily I say unto you
that he shall make him ruler over all his goods.
Ain't that great? In 48.
And if that evil servant shall say it
in his heart,
my Lord delayeth his coming.
But the evil servant says, my Lord is not coming yet. I mean, remember the guy who says, you'll put it off for later? What did it say about him? And shall begin to smite his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunken. People who were in, dropped back out and went back into the world and get involved. What did it say about it?
The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him.
That's right.
And in an hour that he is not aware of.
Go ahead.
And shall cut him asunder and appoint him this portion with the hypocrites.
That's right.
There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Now, we went through the whole Matthew 24, verse by verse. This is how you read the Bible. You don't be jumping from place to place unless you're trying to make a point and you don't have the time. Read the whole thing so you can see what it says.
It's what makes the people. For the Egyptians who had the people in Egypt under bondage, and that Moses had came to.
All right. What happens with Egypt is, like I was teaching on this last night, what happens with Egypt is most of your scholars, especially American, are getting all their translations from English. So therefore, none of them, or most of them, have taken the time to learn hieroglyphics. Or they strain their hieroglyphics from the Rosetta Stone, which was in Greek. So they say that this new Rosetta Stone, which was in Greek, gave them the power to translate the hieroglyphics, which was an ancient Egyptian language written and not spoken. They never even bothered to check up on the word Greek. If you really research the word Greek, you'll find out the word Greek or Greece or Grecia means to be uncertain. The word itself means uncertain. Why? How silly the Christians look when they say Jesus revealed the books to them in Greek. All right. Now, when you talk about Egypt, you got to understand that when you say we're going up the Nile, you're really going south. You follow that? You're going from Egypt or Alexandria down towards Sudan, which means you pass through Cairo or Cahira down into Luxor and Nubia and then down into Sudan, where there are pyramids, but the white man refuses to mention that there are pyramids in Sudan, you see, that you can see. All right. What he tries to make people think is whenever he speaks of Egypt, he's talking about Alexandria, which is to the north, connected to the Mediterranean.
by which entrance from Europe was easily made. So the invasion by Caucasoid people called Franks and Anglets, or whatever, Saxons, which became Anglo-Saxon or English people, and Franks became known as French, and Iranians or Aryans, which became known as the germ seed, or the man with the germ, or Germans, you see, all of these people fell their way into northern Africa from the Mediterranean and invaded Egypt on countless times. Thus, when you look in the northern part of Egypt at the hieroglyphics, you see what they would call a rainbow coalition, which is a joke. We don't need a rainbow coalition mixing out seed with other people. Only people who need seed mixed with them want to mix. White people need us to mix with them. We don't need them. We've survived for millions of years without him. He can't even survive 6,000. Okay? So now, when you get most of your books in America and they teach you in college about Egypt, they're teaching you about Alexandria. And that's why they always take you to Cleopatra and how a man named Alexander went over to Egypt and Caesar came over to Egypt and Pophocius came over to Egypt and got their philosophy, which they later called the Hermes doctrine or the Kabbalion, not the Kabbalah. You follow that? Yes. I'm building around something, so bear with me.
Okay.
So when you get to the southern part of Egypt, which is really the north, because like I said, the Nile travels down to Sudan, but they say it's going up. So the white man is such a devil that he switched everything around to confuse people. Whenever they speak about the seed that Ibrahim and them came in contact with, or that Musa, Ibrahim is Abraham, alayhi salatu wasalam, or Musa, which is Moses, alayhi salatu wasalam, who came in contact with Ramses in them, they were talking about Ramses of Luxor, not Ramses of Alexandria. But when they give you their movies in America about the Bible, they pull it up into Alexandria, where they had been invaded by whites and mixed in. Thus, you see on the hieroglyphics of the pyramids of the northern part in Cairo, you see all different colored Egyptians. But when you get to the lower, which is really the upper, now I'm not trying to confuse you, bear with it. When you get to the lower Luxor in Sudan, inside the pyramids, you see all dark people, which were the real seed of Mizraim from Cush. The word Egypt, Mizraim, is from the word Mizraim, from the seed of Cush, who came over into Ethiopia or Africa and moved down into Luxor, Nubia, Sudan, Somali, Habeshi, Ethiopia. They're all the descendants of Nabi Noah, who was perfect in his generation and was the Black Sea. So that when Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, was in Egypt, he was talking not up in Alexandria, but lower Egypt, which is really upper Egypt. Okay, I got to keep saying that because they keep playing words with you. And he was in the midst of all blacks, which are the Sudanese, the Nubians. And when Bani Israel, which are the children of Israel, migrated from the land of Canaan into Egypt because that was the only place where there was grain, they encountered Nubian people, which were Sudanese, which was black. And when Joseph blended in Egypt as an officer in the ranks of Egypt because of his ability to interpret dreams, he blended in amongst blacks. So when his other brothers, along with their father, Yaakov or Jacob, came to Egypt, which was Luxor or Nubia in Sudan region, and they could not differentiate Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, Joseph, from the other Egyptians, it's because he was black. Now, all this blackness is not necessary because we don't need this racism in Islam. However, the white Arab spends a lot of time trying to give us trying to put in our minds that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam Muhammad was white, or a white Arab with a red beard, and that Abraham was white, and that Adam was white, and that Jesus was white. But the moment you and I bring it up, we're racist. Imam Isa is a racist. Don't go to the Ansar Allah community, they talk racism. Your question It's a very good question. When Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, Moses, when Abraham, alayhi salatu wasalam, was in Egypt, and when Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam, went to Egypt, he encountered black people. Today, if you went to the tree, and I've been there, where Miriam and Jesus rested, it's in the southern part of Cairo, going towards Luxor. You understand?
Yes.
So those were black people who the children of Israel were in bondage to, black Egyptians. And that's why when they say in the second prophecy, in the 15th chapter of Genesis, about Abraham's seed being in bondage for 400 years, and that the Amorites would keep them in bondage, we know he could not have been talking about the children of Israel, because the Amorites did never, ever rule Egypt. It had to be talking about you people who are descendants of Ishmael and Israel here today in the Western world, who have been lost, but now found, thanks to people like Noble Drew Ali, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Jama Ansar Allah. We have now found our way back to Sabilillah and Sisla, our chain. Okay?
Assalamu alaikum. I have a question that grieves me a lot, because I'm from a family that were Muslim, was striving for a title. And I'm in a family whereas my father was Muslim, and they were following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The family divided because one wants to go a positive direction, the other wants to go a negative direction. The question that I have to ask is families. We all are families, our families that we love so much and so much care about. Some of them don't even want us to accept this truth. Would you please explain to me, why is all this happening? Our families are like, we are accepting your word and your truth, but then our fathers and our mothers are like, you know, they're slandering you.
First of all, if they followed the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad properly, right, we'd come up with certain questions that he put forth. One of them is, why is the devil so successful in all his undertakings? Remember that question?
Mm-hmm.
What's it answer?
Because
those that was his followers, right?
Right.
Obeyed his instructions regardless of what he told them to do. Correct?
Right.
Now, in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, he also made mention of, can a Muslim be fooled? And the answer was, not nowadays. Correct?
Right.
The devil tried. But right after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was taken up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alayhi salam, what happened is the whole community got fooled. Warwick D. Muhammad, who did not follow the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who had been groomed by pale Arabs to pull down the nation of Islam, was elected into office. You see? And he opened the doors of that holy temple and mixed and diluted and tampered it. What does Honorable Elijah Muhammad say about the word holy? What is holy? Anything that has not been mixed, diluted, or tampered with in any way. And he called them the holy nation of Islam in the teachings. Yet, Warwick D. Muhammad opened the door to let the unholy devil in. Honorable Elijah Muhammad also said, can the devil be reformed?
No.
No. All the scientists have tried, and they came to the conclusion that it could not be done. So how could Warwick D. Muhammad allow the devil inside a holy temple, which would first render it unholy? And if they had obeyed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching, regardless of what he told them to do, you see, all of the scandalism and all of the lies, be they true or false, about his private life, should have never even came up. The devil is successful because his followers obey him. You follow that?
Yes.
Muslims cannot be successful because they refuse to obey their leaders. Black people do just the opposite. When you ask them to obey, they disobey. So now the reason why the family is broken up
is because in the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, where our paths go slightly different, is I don't teach familyism. I teach tribalism. Meaning, I teach that all the children in the community are everybody's sons and daughters. Your sons and daughters become mine when you come in this community, and I'm as responsible for them as you are for my children. We don't believe in going home after Thursday night meeting and everybody going to their separate little cubicle called an apartment, and then we got to start coming to the masjid to impress each other. We try to live for, of, and by each other, like Sheikh Daoud had taught. That's all we're telling people, is that either you're of this world or the next. Either you live for the things of this world or you live for Yom Akhir and Jannah. And if you want to give up the things of this world to prepare yourself for the next world, you start by reducing your desires of the material things around you. Start there. Tell them it's not the pen, it's the books. It's not the incense, it's the teachings that the man has. And tell them if they're not afraid, read it, you see. A lot of people are afraid to read our books.
Yeah.
Because it'll hook you. When you start reading and following our publications, you get hooked.
You say truth hurts.
Truth is that. It's hard. A whole lot of people sitting in that room are saying, I wish I would have never picked up one of those books.
You know,
Lord knows, I wish I would have just passed that brother on the street and didn't say nothing. Because when I opened that book, I thought it was sweet the first day. The first book was so sweet, I felt so great. And then they told me, you can't smoke, you can't drink, you got to cover your face, you got to wear a long white dress every day, a white cap, you got to move inside of a community. Then it started, all this sweet-tasting truth started becoming quite bitter.
Sure.
So a whole lot of people who've been coming here for 1,000 years and ain't moved in yet, ain't make no attention to moving the community. Just coming in, stopping up knowledge and stopping up knowledge, ain't fooling nobody but yourself because you are hooked. People leave the mosque, they go out in the street, and they say, I hate that place, I don't like this, I don't like this. And they, you know, 4 months later, you see him back in the street, that's the brother. Ain't that brother the one I saw in the studio left who was talking about him? He's back in there. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Wa rabbuka al-akram. الذي علم بالقلم
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that he is alone and has no part. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.